to prevent getting an infectious disease and having to have you as my doctor is what? Wearing a mask.
No.
Don't need to do that. If somebody's, I can see they're getting ready to sneeze or cough, walk away.
You avoid all the paranoid aspects and okay. Do something positive. A, good diet. B, you don't smoke, I know. I know you don't drink, at least not very much, so that's pretty good. Get some exercise. I know that you don't get as much exercise as you should.
That's correct.
Get good sleep. I think the normal, low-tech, healthy things are the best thing that you can do, David, is stay healthy.
All right.
I have COVID. I'll be honest, it's a little scary, but I know I can beat it with Pfizer-Mectin.
Coming soon from Pfizer, an over-the-counter drug that can help you beat COVID. Pfizer-Mectin.
Welcome to the Daily Wrap-Up, a concise show dedicated to bringing you the most relevant independent news as we see it from the last 24 hours.
Tuesday, September 14th, 2021. Thank you for joining me today. It does look like we're working on Super U. That's fantastic. Let me know if it's working for you guys. We have a great show for you today. Always just a never-ending stream of important things to break down, debunk, reveal. There's a lot of stuff going on right now that is really unnerving to people that are able to stand back and look at all sides of a situation because it's really, really subjective and really one-sided today. And it's just incredible how we've seen this progress from the beginning. Now, we're going to talk about some more things that break down the illusion. That's been on my mind a lot because of the speech I'm going to be giving in the near future around the concept of the illusion, that is the COVID-19 discussion. Now, for those that haven't heard me talk about this, that doesn't necessarily have to mean that it's real or fake, or it just means there's a lot. I have my opinions, but there's a lot around this that's very obviously being misrepresented, lied about, numbers being padded across the board, one of which we'll talk about today. Again, the Bloomberg discussion about the breakthrough cases, because it bolsters another point where they're again reiterating only 10,000 breakthrough cases. How is it even possible? That kind of makes my point for me right there, that they can still, the CDC, say, oh, well, now it's 11,000 breakthrough cases. That's total. Bloomberg did their own investigation and didn't even get into all the states and found well over 100,000. And that was months ago. And here they are months later saying, oh, now it's 11,000. They know that article came out. They know the information's out there and they don't care. So we're going to show you this reality in the pandemic of the vaccinated that's clearly being shown right now. Scotland speaking up saying everyone here, that's where that quote is from. In fact, that all the people here have had the jab. It's just unreal. And they keep saying, no, that all the facts and the data and the scientists and the doctor, everyone's saying that's all fake news. Our narrative is the reality and people are buying it. Now there's a lot to get into today. By the way, I did see somebody else commenting in the chat. Apparently Jimmy Dore just came out with an interview with Robert Malone. I'm probably worth watching. Go check it out. Great to see him finally coming around. I hope. I haven't watched it for myself, but it's really frustrating. As all of you know, the point of all we're doing here is to get this information in front of people. We're not promoting ourselves. We're not out there trying to, you know, not to say anything about anybody else, him or otherwise, but there are a lot of people out there doing so. We're just out here trying to get the information in front of people. And I'm willing to discuss things that may be a little bit on the cusp of what some people that are striving to be mainstream might want to talk about. So they kind of kick us to the side. Now, we're not here for all the credit. We're here to get the information out there. But nonetheless, as you all know, it's sort of frustrating sometimes once these Johnny-come-latelys come around and start discussing things that we've been screaming about for 6 months to a year. In fact, some of these people who actually said things negative about stuff we were talking about, and now it's finally starting to come out. Regardless of any of that, it's good that people are talking about it. But it's important, and this is why I just said that, to make sure you don't just go, oh, well, here's the conversation and leave it at what he just showed you. I can promise you the conversation that's being had there is not the full picture, because these are people that are, I mean, to be quite honest, I watched the beginning and Jimmy's reading mRNA off his paper. It's like, okay, well, we need people out there. Taylor Hudak is doing some outstanding work in regard to all of her interviews and all the people she's talking to. So if you're interested, including, by the way, my interview with Robert Malone that goes far deeper than I think a lot of these conversations have had, take the time to look into it, broaden out the conversation. And that goes for my show too. watch what we're going to talk about today. Take the time to go look further for yourself. Look at people that say something different than me. That's the important part of this, because I think what happens is a lot of people wait for T-Lab to talk about it so they can get their take, or wait for Jimmy to cover something so they can get what they... Don't do that, right? Whether it's me or anybody else, make sure you think for yourself and challenge the narrative, including what you think your narrative is. Now, a lot to talk about on top of all the things that probably won't get talked about on other shows like this for another months and months and months down the line until it becomes mildly acceptable. I want to quick shout out something that I think you guys would want to watch and listen to. And this is a great interview, kind of on that same point, about things that I don't really get to talk about very often, I should say. We had recently, I was actually really sad to miss the Union of the Unwanted on the 9/11 version they did on the 13th. My back was killing me. I wasn't able to make it. But the last one I was on there, we got into some really interesting things. We talked about the moon landing and, you know, a lot of these different things that are, you know, conspiracy theory, but interesting to talk about. And I don't mean that it's what I think. I mean that they're labeled that and you're not allowed to talk about it, right? When I discuss the concept of flat earth theory and whether or not I think any of the points within it make any sense at all, does that mean that I believe that theory? No. It shows you that we have the courage to talk about things that other people pretend are too dangerous to talk about. That's the problem. So we had this conversation I had with Richard Willett on Glitch in the Code is just outstanding. I really enjoyed talking with him. And we get into some of these deeper beliefs that are behind all of this, so theories and discussions that I actually agree with a lot of it, but are way too deep for some of the people out there that are just stepping into the minefield that is the COVID-19 illusion and just starting to realize that people are being lied to. Anyway, Richard Willett doing a great job as always. I hope you guys will check out the information in the interview. Now, to address the things we played in the beginning there, for people that haven't seen that, I was actually pretty blown away by this. I mean, this speaks to the controlled flow of information. Like, I'm not just controlled, completely locked down unless you know exactly where to look, right? So I have people that send me things all the time, like this video, for instance. We just played in the beginning, and I'll play it just again, just in case people came in late. It's from Bloomberg, and this person did it like this so you could actually see that it is on Bloomberg. And I'll show you how Bloomberg has the page censored right now. Weird. Why would they do that? But it's interesting that people send you things and then you are like, oh my gosh, how did I not see this? That was from yesterday. And then you try to search for it generally, not like exact title, but you know, even sometimes the exact title doesn't show up, but you search generally and nothing pops up. It's all about what the narrative is and what they want you to see. It's incredible how completely controlled all of this is. Talk about lockstep. Now, as this person points out, before crazy took over, Fauci suggests that masks and social distancing are paranoid stuff. And the best way to avoid suffering from an infectious disease is to have better lifestyle. Isn't that funny? That's exactly what people like the Barrington Declaration are saying, or people like vitamin D kind of concept saying, well, you should do things to make yourself healthy. And that will be, that's crazy dangerous misinformation today. The stance that can get you suspended from social media for spreading disinformation. Exactly. And he points to this tweet here, which is what the person he saw it from. Fauci from 2 years ago sounding like Joe Rogan today, which is funny, which I don't know if this guy's framing that like as if Joe Rogan's the crazy conspiracy theorist or how. I don't care what his perspective on this is. This is an actual video from Bloomberg. And this is what he says. I mean, let me just play it again for you since we're right here. And it's humorous to me how remember the beginning narrative was, well, he lied to you on that 160 Minutes episode because he wanted to make sure masks were available for the healthcare workers. So he lied and pretended they weren't good for you. Then we came back and said, okay, yeah, they are. You need them and they're all going to die if you don't wear it. Well, then how do you explain this?
Getting an infection.
Wait a minute. That was the wrong one. That was the opening clip that had the Pfizer Mectin on there. I'll talk about that next, which is actually a really hilarious clip as far as I'm concerned. It cracked me up. But did I not have the whole thing? I guess we'll just play that and I'll cut it short.
And getting an infectious disease and having to have you as my doctor is what? Wearing a mask?
No.
I don't need to do that. I can see they're ready to sneeze or cough, walk away.
You avoid all the paranoid aspects and do something positive. A, good diet. B, you don't smoke, I know.
And he goes on to say healthy lifestyle, right? The same things that are supposed to be fake news, exactly like the person was saying in the tweet. That's ridiculous. We all know this, by the way. This is not contentious at all. It's general basic understanding of how our health, our bodies work, right? You don't need some outside injection to make sure your body does what it's already designed to do. But that's what they're trying to turn everything into today. Oh, that was the separate tweet. Okay, so here was the point. He follows it up by saying Twitter suspended an account with a video of Fauci saying this, that masks and distancing and coughing are paranoid stuff. It's exactly what he says. No, I shouldn't say exactly, but that's what he says. It says, here is a link to the source of the video embedded with Bloomberg markings, just so we can see. And good for him for doing that. Here's the actual link. Now, here's what's funny. You go to the link. Guess what? Nothing's there. It's literally a blank black page that doesn't load anything. Oh, kind of loaded for a second. Then it went away. Here's what even the Wayback Machine shows, which you can see. It still says David Rubenstein Show Fauci. You can't get the video to play. So it's just crazy where we are in the world right now, where this is such. Why would Bloomberg go? By the way, this wasn't removed until very recently. So why would this be suddenly just not accessible? They know this does not go along with the narrative. Now, you could argue that's because we're misunderstanding and vaccine hesitancy and we're all conspiracy theory, whatever. They're still censoring truth to hide what they for whatever reason you want to fill in next. They are censoring factual statements because they don't like what it shows. Unreal. I mean, just unreal. It's so obvious to me that this continues to happen. But I'll include all this for you. Here's the link. I'm sure this link will spread like wildfire, or the clip, you know, now that it's out there and plenty. I mean, I haven't seen this anywhere. So thank you for the people that shared this with me. I think that's fantastic. And here's the link, by the way, to the next part of this, to a Babylon Bee video. Now, what's funny is I cut that short because it goes on to make this kind of crossover reference to like turning into a horse because you're taking this, which is they're just trying to be funny, because the whole kind of horse discussion, you know, ivermectin horse paste, which is ridiculously false. I mean, not that there's not such a thing, but the argument has been already shown even by the Rolling Stone article to be false. The hospital said, you're lying. That's not true. That's not what's happening. It's just a false story. But what's funny is that they're calling it Pfizer-mectin, very obviously pointing to what we just talked about. So here's the link if you want to watch the rest of it. It's kind of funny, but it then also seems to suggest that people are, that it's meant for horses. Like, I'm not sure what their kind of perspective is on it. Either way, to call it Pfizer-mectin, I very clearly think is indicating this. Pfizer's new pill does the same thing as ivermectin. We just did a little short show on this, which weirdly enough got dramatically less views than the longer shows we do, even though people are constantly telling me, do the shorter ones, Ryan, you'll get more reach. Not really. And this is, I mean, my opinion, it was a great show, very focused only about this one thing. And it's very sound. Look at it for yourself. The scientific research is very, very clear. We're talking about this anti-parasitic drug, right? That has all the same end results. Like, what this thing does is exactly what ivermectin would do in regard to COVID-19. Like the protease inhibitor, the whole discussion. Watch this for yourself and then realize how insulting it is that they're acting like this is dangerous and wrong. This thing that's been, it's FDA approved, by the way, ivermectin, for purposes like this, while the US government is currently giving ivermectin to refugees from Africa, from the Middle East, for exactly the kind of purposes we're talking about, yet they're arguing it's dangerous for you here for the same purposes in this country. How does that make sense? The point being, then Pfizer comes up and makes a pill and says, hey, it's a miracle. We have a new treatment that will do great things for prophylactic treatment before or along with the injection that does the same thing as ivermectin. But ivermectin's dangerous. That does that same thing. Don't take that one. But we're going to make lots of money off this one. What do you know? Well, here's the point. I think that was why they're making fun of that, because it's ridiculous that they're making something that's exactly what they keep screaming is dangerous. September 7th, this article from Armstrong Economics, Pfizer creating COVID pills you take daily with the vaccine. Pfizer now looking to come out with a pill you take daily in addition to your vaccine with COVID. And this was kind of my point. This is where I see it going, that this is going to be used alongside of this, which is only going to actually, like, if you, I'm not, again, to be very clear, I am not talking about the concept of, or I'm not promoting any big pharma drug. I'm not saying you should go take ivermectin. I'm saying you should go take whatever you think is going to improve your situation. Whatever you believe based on your research is something that would work for you. I'm not advocating for any of this stuff, because I think all of these things have their problems. But the point being is that this is something that they are actively giving you, or now putting into the mix, that was previously dismissed. And I think it's going to be done in a way based on their narrative that will, again, the idea that ivermectin is supposed to be a prophylactic and make this better beforehand that ever gets to the injection. And they're covering that up and saying, no, because the injection is something that they want you to take. This is kind of like the general consensus in our side, I guess, of the narrative. The point being that this, if that is the case, will be given in a way previous to this or just before that then makes the injection look like it's better, working, successful, when all it really is the very thing that they've been telling you not to take the whole time, which would have made this not a problem based on that informational narrative. This is the idea. So it just blows me away that this is actually happening while we can prove that it's basically the same thing. But on top of that, we're already continuing to see this is not going to stop. This is not just about the new pill and the new thing. This is a snowball of the mRNA, nanotechnology, technocratic future that they're pushing with this new direction. Like I said with the AMA and the Flexner Report and the Carnegies and the Rockefellers, back when they redirected American medical, the American medical direction in the direction of petrochemical drugs. That's right now. All of your big pharma pills are all based on, they're all petroleum based. They're all based. This is something that was very clearly a profit motive for the people who had all a predominant, I mean, I'm trying to remember exactly, a very, very large investment in the oil industry, if not completely controlling it in this country. Now, I recommend you watch James Corbett's How and Why Big Oil Conquered the World. I interviewed him about it. It shows you all of this. The point is today, the same thing is happening. They are redirecting your medical direction to the direction that they want. That's the point. Somebody in chat saying, please challenge Ryan, your narrative. I'm not sure what that means. See, I think this is a person that loves ivermectin and is angry that I'm saying I'm not going to recommend it. Yeah, exactly. Go interview ivermectin advocates. Why does that matter, man? See, I think some people want me to be like, this is the secret. It may be. Go make a show and talk about it. The idea that people think that anybody out there would argue that you're not doing the right thing if you're not pushing one thing or the other, that's the left-right paradigm. You need to go out and do what you think is right, Jack. I'm going to tell you the information and let you make your decision. I'm not advocating for any one of the anything, right? Other than natural things. Go take some vitamin D. I'll tell you that. But I think constantly and say constantly that you should have the choice. I've already gone over all the reality of what the previous information shows and the FDA approval and the decades of efficacy. If that's what you want me to get at, I've already done that, right? That's not the point, though. The point is about you having a choice. Now, we're looking at this one saying no needle vaccine tested at Cincinnati Children's Hospital, right? So this is for COVID. So they're already using children to test new, not the experimental, but the experimental injection, right? We're two steps past that. And we're injecting it in children. Spraying. And this is even worse, in my opinion, based on what they're doing here. Maybe not worse, but just as alarming. No needle approach to COVID-19 injections is being tested by researchers who are hoping it acts like a virus watchdog in the area where COVID-19 attacks. Right. Now, the overarching point to these next few discussions here, or maybe the whole show, is if these things are safe and effective and the benefits outweigh the risks and they're safe and effective, effective being the key, they keep screaming that it's effective and it's effective. Why are we needing new things? Why do we need a new thing that's better or works better? You know, that's their, well, it's never perfect, right? Exactly. It always leaves room for the better thing. Well, as we get into the pill discussion here, why do we need these things? Why do we need the pill that goes along with the injection if the injection is already effective? They're already screaming 100%. On the news has already claimed 100% efficacy, million, like more times than I can count. Of course, when they say that, all they mean is a reduction of symptoms, which we're getting, this next part is going to make you laugh out loud when you realize that it went from it's safe and effective and it dropped in you know, you can get this and go back to your life, which meant transmission. Everyone thought, great, I'll take this and I'll be safe. Then it went to, whoa, no, it's not. That's not the case. Keep wearing your mask. You take this and it will, everything's gone no matter what. And you just don't get, you know, like it's no symptoms. You're no hospitalization. You may get it, but you're not going to get sick. Then it went to, whoa, not that, even though it's going to lessen your symptoms. So you will get sick, but not that bad, but you won't go to the hospital. Then it gets to, whoa, no, not that yet either, though. You're going to go to the hospital, but it's not going to be bad hospitalization. Now it's like, whoa, you may die, but not everyone's going to die. And only the really bad ones will die. So if you didn't get the vaccine, then you'll die for sure. But if you get it, you might die, but not all the time. I'm really not even making that up. Just watch. I had to like walk through that in my mind because it made me laugh out loud. But you'll see as we go through this how ridiculous this is. And I'm not even exaggerating. That's where we are right now. They should record that. Spearman is leading the research on a vaccine known as CVXGA1. A vaccine is delivered in a nasal spray. Now, you know why they're doing the nasal spray? That's why I was making that point a second ago, is because these are other aspects of this that are not working. They need the pill to go along with it because it's not doing what it's supposed to do. They need the nasal spray to go along with it or in conjunction or after or before or whatever, because it doesn't give you mucosal immunity, which is really the only thing the primary thing you need in regard to stopping a respiratory virus. You think they didn't know that before they started this? Of course, let's give you something that injects in your arm instead of something that, you know, this is what people keep saying. If you need something that gives you mucosal immunity, the way that they're doing the injection didn't make sense. There's so many points like that that show you that this is a conscious choice, in my opinion, to either allow what's going on or not stop it. I guess it's kind of the same thing, but you could look at that from different angles. Like the reality is that this is giving you, their argument is that it will give you mucosal immunity, and the injections currently don't. And that's why nothing is stopping. That's why your viral load is I forget how many times they said, multiple times more than the average person who's not vaccinated, and how it can transmit and you can catch it because they don't have mucosal immunity. It's just ridiculous. So let's add this thing in and pretend like the vaccine works all of a sudden. Researchers believe the vaccine delivered in the nose will help the protection build there. You mean the protection you don't have unless you get natural immunity in the upper respiratory system where COVID first attacks? Right. And they knew this while they were working on this mRNA platform thing that didn't do any of that. And it may do that even better than the mRNA vaccines. Oh, you mean better? Because when you have zero, anything more is better. So clearly it will be better. Like other nasal vaccines, guess what? The virus in the COVID-19 nasal version is also live. Well, isn't that interesting? So as they keep telling you, no, these aren't viral vectors. No, it's not live. You can't get sick. Well, now you're going to add on a viral vector, a live version of COVID-19 in your nose, which will probably lead to, if because you're going to get sick, that's the whole way these things work, right? The idea is it starts something. You may not get really sick, but it'll cause something, will create antibodies, and you'll get mucosal immunity. That probably would do, so the mRNA injection, in my opinion, has nothing to do with what that's creating. You're talking about mRNA instructions inside of lipid nanoparticles that create a spike protein in your body, which then, argument is, creates the ability to stop the ones that come from the natural virus, right? That's the argument. So why then spray this in your nose with a live version that's totally different and act like they're like working together? This is crazy to me. At the end of the day, this is a sidestep from the problem that their injection doesn't do what they claim it's supposed to do. So again, to the point, why do we need this if the current thing is safe and effective? Well, here's another one from September 8th. Oh, no, lasting immunity and protection now from a new single-shot room temperature-stable COVID vaccine. Okay, lasting immunity protection, which we're not getting from the injection currently. And guess what, guys? All of these, almost all of them that I've seen, are based on the original discussion. They are not based on the variants and not based on, and again, this is within their narrative. For those that are always screaming, it's not isolated, it's not real. Yes, we're aware of that. We're arguing from within their narrative that they're saying that this is the case, while they're simultaneously saying it's safe and effective and everything's safe and don't worry about it, but we're working extremely fast on things that are better. It's just kind of silly, isn't it? A novel gene-based COVID-19 vaccine leveraging a unique adeno-associated viral vector platform. So they're just kind of jamming it all. So now we're in the realm of like a mix and match here, where we got the gene-based COVID-19 adeno-associated viral vector platform. Are you still confused? And you shouldn't be about where this is all going. This is the direction it's going. The gene-based, platform-based, plug-and-play genetic code kind of scenario where they can just enter in the genetic sequence and pump something out tomorrow. But this one's based on adeno-associated viral vectors, not the mRNA, but it's all over the map. This should unnerve you based on how rapidly this is happening and how this was not something we got to. What did you vote on this? Did you decide to change your entire medical direction? I mean, look at how crazy we are. There's so many things right now that are like the medical consensus, the scientific consensus, which are patently false right now. And that's been the way for, there's plenty of things throughout history you could point out. Right now, they're broken. The establishment level of science and medicine is broken. That doesn't mean that there's not far, 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 the majority, I would say, in fact, of our doctors and scientists that are not in that mainstream consensus. They're just pretending that they're not here. They're all the conspiracy theorists over there. We need to see the alarming direction this is taking us in and see how it's not going to stop unless we do something about it. And here's what Caitlin Johnstone points out. It's weird how nobody's even saying the vaccine isn't working as well as they'd hoped it would, which is a plainly obvious thing. You're not even allowed to say that. Everybody's really disappointed, but they're pretending they're not, because anything but 100% big smile cheerleading gets you branded as an anti-vaxxer. It's just so plainly clear. If that's the case, which it is, and we all see that, we're being gaslit. They're constantly trying to push in what they want you to think. And all the people that are desperate to rationalize their choice that seems to be really bad, increasingly bad right now. I saw a meme like this today. as I jump my own point there, the people there, the meme today is that it's saying we are witnessing the largest and most uncomfortable and unnerving, and other words they included, I told you so in history. And it's this long, drawn out, like we all see it, including those people that are so desperate to be like, nope, the media said that's not the truth. So I'm going to hold on to that desperately because I can't admit that I made a mistake by trusting the government that I know lies all the time to inject an experimental substance that hadn't even been approved. And they forced in a cheap approval that doesn't even mean it's approved, you know, and I'm the one that I have to convince myself that that's acceptable, that I'm the good one. I'm the smart one. As we're watching people rush to the, I mean, look at all the countries we've talked about. Now Scotland will add to it. Iceland, Gibraltar, Malta. These are pandemics of the vaccinated rushing to the hospital. Israel's the most obvious one we'll talk about in a second. There's no way you can argue that they're having unreal cases through the roof, hospitalizations through the roof. And they've got 80% of the population injected. So there's no questioning that's going to be predominantly the injected. So there you are. And they're going to be like, well, that's expected because no, it's really not expected. You could maybe argue that that would be a little, the cases, remember they said the cases, but the hospitalization challenges their narrative. You shouldn't be going to the hospital predominantly if you are injected based on their narrative. It says everyone's got to do this weird, super tense, phony, happy, smiley dance about how perfect and not at all disappointing the vaccine is because being truthful about how disappointed you feel hurts the vaccination campaign and therefore means you're worse than Hitler. Big smiles. She's nailed it on that. Absolutely right. And it's not just about everything else we're talking about. Look at the vaccine for opioid addiction could be right around the corner, they say. This is a few days ago, last week. There's been an uptick in overdoses during the pandemic. Oh, you don't say. You mean that quiet pandemic we pretended wasn't happening, or epidemic they called it, when it was going on for decade, and now, and it's all because of the obvious occupation of Iraq and the obvious increase of production of opium that was dramatic. I mean, the correlation is ridiculous. It went up by 90% after the U.S. occupied. And then exactly in correlation with that, we see the opioid crisis skyrocket. And then along with that, we see it lead to everything that benefits them in every possible way, including the Sackler family, along with many others that had gotten a slap on the wrist and as of recently just got let off completely. Totally okay, though, because it's a big deal. We all care about your health. But it says the good news is researchers at Columbia University have begun clinical trials on a vaccine for opioid addiction. A vaccine for opioid addiction. No, let's not try to stop the problem. Let's just make more drugs they can take to make it keep going. Right? And don't for one second think that this is not based on the exact same technology. As J&J vaccine fails phase two, the quest for an HIV vaccine continues. Efforts continue in this space. Go, guess what? Helped by COVID-19 vaccine advances. Again, they're using the same experimental unproven technology, even though they pretend like this is the most efficacious thing of ever history of all time. And it's ridiculous. It's not true. And we all see that and they know it, which is why Caitlin Johnstone's point is so very obvious. But to the first point of this, here's what we're seeing today. This is a new, and this is as of yesterday. Nationwide, U.S. study suggests that roughly half of all the hospitalized patients showing up on COVID data dashboards in 2021, you know, that's all what the news just parrots at you without any context, may have been admitted for another reason entirely. Oh, shocking. I'm totally shocked. As I said, gee, who could have guessed? Maybe all those literally screaming that this was happening and being censored for saying so? I don't know. Maybe. Crazy, right? Well, here's the article. Let's go through this pretty quick and let you see what they're saying. And then let me show you the study and show you how it's even not even even this is not even remotely close to what they keep trying to say. Even though this is important, even what they're saying is important. But then you go even show the study and then you find where even the Atlantic tries to sway this in the angle of what the overall agenda is, which is what I'm always trying to show you. Our most reliable pandemic number is losing meaning. Well, maybe because we're relying entirely on regurgitated numbers from individuals that could absolutely be politicized and lie about things, or institutions that have been shown to be verifiable liars throughout history. Maybe that's not a smart thing to do, right? That's exactly the point. Let's trust Neil Ferguson and his estimation about these numbers, which led to here. And we still pretend like we're in the biggest pandemic of a century based on false information. Same thing. False PCR information. Talk about the illusion, right? And they even point out the child hospitalization numbers, which we just talked about like a month ago from Newsweek. So if we know that 40+% of all the child hospitalizations were completely made up based on the fact that they had hot children, they were either already in there or went in for something else entirely and simply got a test and were told they were sick. And because they were already hospitalized, they got counted as a COVID hospitalization, right? That's an illusion. The same thing is happening here with adults. But yeah, but it's totally real. A new study suggests that almost half of those hospitalized with COVID-19 had mild or asymptomatic cases. Now, what they mean by that is either were basically there for something, go into it, I'll read it, something else, barely were sick at all, and they just were told to be there because they thought they had a problem, which is not the same thing as being in a hospital bed in the ICU, which is how they frame it on the news. And then asymptomatic, in my opinion, based on all the scientific research we've seen, means you didn't have anything and you were told you were sick based on a faulty PCR test with a overly high cycle threshold, which is exactly what it creates based on exactly what Fauci told you. Right? Remember this. He said this in his own interview back in the middle of 2020. That if you use the cycle threshold, which verifiably they are right now, it's not replication competent, meaning it does not do the job.
Evolving into a bit of a standard that if you get a cycle threshold of 35 or more, that the chances of it being replication competent are minuscule. Mm.
Now, I have the actual clip of that. I don't know why I keep using that phone version of it, because then people can be like, oh, that's not real. Somebody will dismiss whatever they want, whenever they want, if they want to. Today in Virology, whatever the podcast is called. I'll find the clip. I got to remember to add the real one. But that's very clear. And he did say that. So right now, they're using 40 to 45 in most of these places in the country. That's been shown 100 times over. And of course, don't forget, on the breakthrough cases, they use 28 and below. Now, why would they do that? The number that's perfectly below what Fauci said would make. Right. So that's a way. If you use the higher number, you guarantee you're going to get false positives. That's what Dr. Scoglio, PhD, and plenty of others have pointed out in live video. Testing a kiwi fruit and showing it's positive. If you use the 28 cycle threshold on the side of breakthrough, it's a guarantee that you're going to hide breakthrough cases while making the COVID cases on the other side look like there's far more than there are. Right. So when you're looking at asymptomatic, at the very least, assume that some of those could be false based on all of that. Remember, the largest asymptomatic study in the world, over 10 million people, found that only 300 were asymptomatic. And of those 300, zero of them were transmissible. Why? Well, because respiratory viruses are spread by symptoms, which is even what Fauci said in the beginning. So when you don't have symptoms, you're not transmissible. It's a pretty basic concept. And sure, there's variables there that could change, but by and large, it's not something that you should ever worry about in this context, based on all the scientific research. To say that we don't know could be, well, that's not science, is it? And that's all they're doing right now. All the people that are screaming, trust the science, are the ones going, well, what about long COVID? There may be something coming. Well, that's not science, guys. That's called fear mongering. But it says at least 12,000 Americans have already died from COVID-19 this month. And again, this is all coming from data being spit at you by the CDC, which has been shown to be verifiably false. They've been caught lying at least four times in huge ways just since 2021. The two on the top of my mind are the one I'll show you in a minute, where Bloomberg catches them hiding 100,000 breakthrough cases. We've talked about this before. We'll show you that in a second. But on top of that, there's the discussion or the fact where they were even caught on live TV, where they were giving you the numbers from the first half of the year. That's where that pandemic of the unvaccinated claim came from, because they took data from the wrong time of the year when they knew damn well that the majority of people at that time were unvaccinated. If and when, which they have yet to do, by the way, gee, I wonder why, you take the data from that, from the you know, whatever, I think it would be April forward to now, you would obviously see the difference, which is what Israel's showing you, which is what Scotland is showing you, which is what all these locations are showing you, that is predominantly people. By the way, even the British Medical Journal tells you this is the case. We'll come back to this in a second. Of course, they go, but this doesn't mean that the vaccines don't work. Well, yeah, it really does, though. But what's funny is the narrative is, well, it's only cases, though, and it dramatically lowers your hospitalization or your dying. Well, this right here is very clearly says significant portion of the people admitted to the hospital or dying are vaccinated, right? But it doesn't mean you can't play it both ways here. Yes, well, if the majority of the population is injected, therefore you would see the majority of problems coming from people that are injected. But if the injection is supposed to lessen hospitalization or dying, you can't keep saying that makes sense. It's not just five or six of them, and that's the majority. No, the numbers are, look at Israel. That's the point. They're skyrocketing, and they're mostly injected. And then they go, but that's expected. But that doesn't make sense. And anybody honest is very aware of that. But they say 12,000 Americans have already died from COVID this month, as the country inches through its largest surge in cases. It's amazing how we keep pretending that pointing out cases means anything, with something that 99%, the vast majority of Americans are 99% or way more not at risk. Did I say that weird? That sounded, so you have a 99% chance of survival or more, the vast majority of Americans, far, far more. Remember, if you're 19 or under, you have a 1 in a million chance, if not better, of getting sick. 1 in a million. 1 in a million. As we get into the part where they're trying to push injections on 6-month-year-olds, ask yourself why that makes sense. Surge in cases means absolutely nothing. But another worrying statistic is often cited to depict dangers of the moment. The number of patients hospitalized with COVID-19 in the United States right now, as high as it's been since the beginning of February, they say. Maybe that's because they're increasing it by half a time again by lying to you. Who knows? Maybe. It's even worse in certain places. Some states, including Arkansas and Oregon, recently saw their COVID hospitalizations rise to higher levels than at any prior stage of the pandemic. But how much do those latter figures really tell us? Interesting. But if you look at Oregon and Arkansas, if I remember correctly, Oregon had about a 60% injection rate, Arkansas about 50%. So it puts you right on track with a lot of the other places. So it doesn't really make sense that they would have a worse situation than anybody else. And by the way, both those places seem to have pretty solid, if solid makes it sound good, you know, it doesn't matter. Now, I don't want to make it subjective. The point is, very clearly, you are seeing the numbers of cases claimed, of hospitalizations claimed, to argue that we're in a dangerous situation. Now, ask yourself right on the beginning of this, why the metric that's being used to argue you're in danger keeps changing. Why is it from one day it's cases, then it's deaths, then it's hospitalizations? Oh, now it's back to cases again. Why? Well, because this is how you lie with data. You lie with statistics. You can continue to shift the narrative. If cases don't look bad, well, then we'll jump to this or that. It would make sense if it stayed the same. So now we're finding the hospitalizations used because this is something that's being abused right now. Because clearly people are going to the hospital because of vaccine injuries. People are going to the hospital for any number of other things, flu, pneumonia, that gets labeled as COVID-19. And this is going to continue. But as it says, a new nationwide study of hospitalization records released as a preprint today, and we'll show you that next, suggests that the meaning of this gauge can easily be misinterpreted and that it has been shifting over time. That's a really kind way to say that. It's misinterpreted as opposed to being mispresented in a deceptive way, intentionally. If you want to make sense of the number of COVID hospitalizations at any given time, you need to know how sick each patient actually is. Gee, doesn't that sound like something we were screaming in the beginning of all this? Well, you can't just lump it all into one category. You should make it do. No, you're dangerous. That's dangerous misinformation. We're doing it for your safety. Well, now that the numbers are on the other side of this, it's funny how it always keeps. Now we're the same arguments we were making for the other side. Well, maybe we should start considering whether. Yeah. Isn't that interesting? It says the federal government requires hospitals to report every patient who tests positive for COVID. Yet the overall tallies of COVID hospitalizations made available on various state and federal dashboards and widely reported by the media do not differentiate based on severity of illness. And it may not sound that crazy until you really dig into what that means. But ask yourself this. Remember, they're saying hospitals are required to report all these positive cases. But OSHA was just told they didn't have to monitor these cases anymore on the breakthrough side. There's no missing how obviously they're trying to hide one side of this while hyping up the other. Very clear. But it says there are many COVID patients in the hospital with fairly mild symptoms who have been admitted for further observation on account of their comorbidities or because they reported feeling short of breath. Now, that is not the same as being on an ICU with a beeping number. Oh, my God, they're all dying perception that they're pushing in everybody's minds. Overwhelmed hospitals. By the way, I actually didn't include this today because I was rushing for time at the end. But I have somebody close to me who did their own due diligence about a story that was shared by somebody else in our family. Going, oh, my God, the hospitals are overwhelmed. Look at the number. And all it took was 5 minutes of due diligence to, you know, literally call those hospitals and be like, hey, is that true? And they go, no, it's not true. I mean, it's just the funny. I'm told the lady's like, honey, I've been hearing about this all day, and that's completely not true. Like, this is, it's that, look how easy that is. We should all be doing that. Take the time to call. Don't just look at the media and be like, oh, they said the hospital's overwhelmed. Ask them. Now, sometimes you may hear the same thing, but the point is that by and large, she checked, and none of them were the way that they were presenting it. There is a huge illusion. The media has taken it upon themselves to misrepresent on the side of their narrative. As I keep telling you, is lying for their truth, if they're even caring about the truth at all. Some of these people actually believe that they're deceiving you for a good cause. But the point they're making here is that people are also in the hospital for mild symptoms, where they stay because of other reasons. Oh, well, they got comorbidities. We'll check just to be safe. Or they said they have shortness of breath. We'll keep them here for another reason. That's not the same thing. Those go down as hospitalizations. They weren't hospitalized because COVID was severe. They were hospitalized because they were just being safe. And how do they have room to do that if they're overwhelmed everywhere? Because the hospital is gigantic and has plenty of other room outside of the 15 ICU beds that when they get full, they call it being overwhelmed. It says another portion of the patients in this tally are in the hospital for something unrelated. Yep, that same old story. Oh, and guess what? It's discovered that they were sick because they were tested upon admission. So you have a test that's guaranteed to some degree to cause false positives, especially when using 40 to 45 cycle threshold, as we just played Fauci admitting to you. So now you have a guarantee. The level, as I've always said in the past, you can decide for yourself to what degree there's false positives, but it's not a question of whether or not there are. So in this case, when people go in or are already in the hospital with a broken leg, they go, hey, come here, we got to test you to make sure you're not sick. Oh, you're sick now. And they never even get symptoms. They leave with a cast. That goes down as a COVID hospitalization. That's not even a secret. Discovered they were infected upon admission or testing after the fact. Like, let's say they have somebody else that gets sick and they go, well, now we got to test you to make sure you didn't get sick while being here. That happens too. How many patients fall into each category is speculation. Could be all of them for all we know. That's the point. It says for two separate studies published by, and again, this is based on scientific research. This isn't just some hypothetical discussion, right? This is the study we'll show you next. This is very clear. It says for two separate studies published in May, doctors in California read through several hundred charts of pediatric patients one by one to figure out why exactly each COVID positive child has been admitted to the hospital. Guess what they found? Did they need treatment for COVID? Or was there some other reason for admission, like cancer treatment or psychiatric episode, and the COVID diagnosis was merely incidental? According to the researchers, and this was the Newsweek article we read you like a month back or so, 40 to 45% of all the hospitalizations that they examined were for patients in the latter group, meaning they were there for something else. They were admitted for a broken leg because they had a psychotic episode, because they were, had a tummy ache. It doesn't change the fact that they were there for something different and then were tested and said, oh, incidentally, you also have COVID-19. And none of those in the argument of this case amounted to something where they got sick. You know why? Because they were children with a 1 in a million chance of even getting sick. Remember this, 1 in a million, according to the Oxford calculator. Remember that the number they keep citing, 400, I think this was also a Newsweek article, already revealed to you that they've never checked on one of those deaths. These are the hospitalizations. They have not checked on a single death, and that was proven to you. Even the mainstream media pointed that out. They're assuming, based on this kind of thing, where they say, oh, well, they had it, then they died, that's the case. Not a single one of them, with all the tens of thousands of employees at the CDC, have been investigated to verify that those children died from COVID-19. And here we are, added to the pile that is the illusion. It says this time they did it for adults. So this is a fact, right? This has been shown very clearly. The fact being that they were tested while there or while being admitted, and the children were told they had COVID, and that was a hospitalization, even though it wasn't even remotely that. Then it says for adults, they analyzed the electronic records for nearly 50,000 COVID hospital admissions at the more than 100 VA hospitals across the country. Now, I find it strange they keep doing these veteran hospital studies, because veterans in general, as they do notate in the study, as well as the other one we just showed you, are not a good representation for the American people, because most of them have other ailments or comorbidities or on and on and on. Why? Because they're punching bags for the U.S. government, right? Where they send them out to places and they put them in positions where they're confronted with toxic chemicals that the U.S. government uses in the military all the time. And they sort of like the 9/11 first responders where they just get kicked to the side, right? So now they're all there struggling with comorbidities and cancers and whatever else. So to use them for this picture is not a good representation. I just want to make that clear. And I think they're doing that on purpose. But it says, then they check to see whether each patient required supplemental oxygen or had a blood oxygen level below 94%. That was the only metric they used, which is interesting. The latter criterion is based on the NIH definition of severe COVID. That's why they did it. If either of these conditions was met, the authors classified the patient as having moderate to severe disease. Otherwise, the case was considered mild or asymptomatic. So it's not exact because the oxygen, as they make points in that to say there should be more specific ways to make this clear. But just based on that, the study found that from March 2020 all the way through January 2021, before vaccination was widespread, and interestingly enough, before the Delta variant had arrived, the proportion of patients with mild asymptomatic disease was 36%. That right there, 36%, almost 40% of all of these hospitalizations were people that weren't even really there because it was serious. It says from mid-January through the end of June 2021, however, that number rose to 48%. Now, don't miss the jump right there. 48%. So that means that it got less severe based on whatever kind of metric you want to apply to this, whether they're misrepresenting pneumonia and flu, whatever it is, it got less severe. More people were given the illusion that they were there for a serious thing when they weren't. 50%, in fact. In other words, it says the study suggests that roughly half of all the hospitalized patients showing up on the COVID dashboards in 2021, this year, may have been admitted for another reason entirely, or simply had a small case and weren't really there for a serious reason. Right? So, they're admitted for a broken leg, tested, told they're sick, or go in there because they're sick with a mild case and just kept there just to be safe. None of which are actually impacting the actual overwhelming hospital discussion, right? But the Delta variant part of this is interesting because that's right after this is when they claim it. Oh, it was just everywhere, right? 90%+, which by the way, we already proved to you that there's no way they could know that. The CDC at the most takes samplings of certain areas and uses that as an estimation of where we really are. The people that are testing and being told they have Delta, they're being lied to. It's not happening. That's been admitted by the mainstream media. But we keep running with it because narrative is all that matters. But the Delta variant has already been shown to be far, far less severe. Dramatically so. They claim it's more transmissible. Let's just take that at face value for conversation's sake, but it's not more dangerous based on everything we have in front of us. So what we're seeing is an increase in the vaccinated having problems because that's clearly already been shown to be basically vaccine resistant. So with Lambda, so with Mu and everything else they keep seeing, but they're acting like it's going to get better if we all get injected, even though the variants keep coming out. It's absurd. But the point being, you're seeing an increase in the vaccinated problem, but an overall decrease because more the people, half of which have natural immunity or not injected, are not having really any effect because they're not affected by this right now. 99%, most of which, over 99%, are having no problem. Then additional natural immunity means zero problem. So the Delta variant is adding this. That's why we're seeing the increase, but not to a case where it's being more severe, right? Because it'll look like it's getting better, in my opinion. But ultimately, it's isolated to only the injected. That's what this seems like to me. Now, this is my opinion, right? The data speaks for itself. But it says another reason entirely. Oh, sorry, I just read that. Oh, this was like many medical centers, the VA has a policy to test every inpatient for COVID. Exactly my point. Now, but it says, here's an interesting point. That's not universal practice. Now, how does that even add up? So you have some places that are testing literally everybody that walks through the door, which is a guarantee that you're going to get. I mean, if Dr. Scoglio is telling you that you can have a 95% false positive rate if using 40 to 45 cycle threshold, which we know they are, that means that 95% of these people are not sick at all in regard to COVID-19, if that's even the case. So the point is, if it's not universal, some of these hospitals are testing literally everybody and having all these cases, and oh my God, they're all sick, but not really getting sick at all. And other places aren't doing it at all, and they're not. And it's not being shown. So then you have this very stark contrast, and none of it's actually accurate. It's an illusion on both sides. That is ridiculous, and that only is like that if you want to make sure it's impossible to verify. That's why the breakthrough cases are only done in certain states, none of them being forced to do it. Some people aren't even tracking it. Others are tracking far more than they should based on the same kind of thing we're looking at here. like the illusion of it, that aren't breakthrough cases based on a false positive PCR test. And it's a guarantee for, they can be like, well, here's what our thing showed based on what we got from certain states. And we're barely going to show you that data. So just trust us. It's a lie. It says most of the data, even from patients admitted in 2021, derived from the phase of the pandemic before Delta became widespread. Goes on to say, one of the important implications of the study, these experts say, and this is what's funny to me. Of course, these experts being the ones that they sought out that already agree with what they think it means, as opposed to getting a, you know, a balanced view from different perspectives, which is what journalism is supposed to be. It says, our experts say is that the introduction of vaccines strongly correlates with a greater share of COVID hospital patients having mild or asymptomatic disease. This was kind of what I was getting at before, right? So it was at first, stop transmission and you're safe and effective and you're good. Take this and go back to your life. Then it's like, well, no, you're you take this and you may catch it, but you won't get sick. And this was the part of it where like, well, you know, you may get sick, you may be hospitalized, but it'll be a less severe hospitalization. I can't believe people are going along with how ridiculous this is, but that's what they're saying. It correlates with a greater share of COVID hospital patients having mild or asymptomatic disease. But yeah, before it was that most people won't get hospitalized. It says it's underreported how well the vaccine makes your life better. That's just a dumb statement. How well the vaccine makes your life better? I'm just making that sentence just bad English. How much less sick you are likely to be and less sick even if hospitalized. How do you possibly prove that? The assumption is because they say it has this number of effect on the overall symptomatic problem. Therefore, if you're this sick, it would have been worse if you didn't get this thing. That's the Rogaine analogy I use all the time. There's no way to prove that. But they just go, well, because we trust CDC, therefore this is the case, and we know it because science. That's the gem in this study, they say. Well, not even remotely. That's not the gem in this study. The study doesn't even come close to that, but we'll show you in a second. It says, people ask me, this, by the way, that's the gem in their backward, altered, bastardized interpretation of what they think that says. But it says, people ask me, why am I getting vaccinated if I just end up in the hospital anyway? Get this. This expert that they're citing says, but I say, you'll end up leaving the hospital. You get that? Not that, no, you won't go. And only a few go. And it's very rare. And if you do, then you'll leave. No. He says, you'll end up leaving the hospital. So now it just shifted. They just moved the goalpost for the thousandth time. Now you will get sick and go to the hospital if you get sick, but it won't be that bad and you'll go home after that. Isn't that great? He explained that some COVID patients are in for a soft hospitalization. Oh, that's great. That's great. The ridiculous kind of language that's been used since this started is just unbelievable to me. A soft hospitalization. It's sort of like a mild case of myocarditis, which could kill you in 10 years, right? It says where they need only minimal treatment and leave relatively quickly. That literally is the opposite of what they were saying in the beginning. It says others may be on the antiviral drug remdesivir for 5 days. Now I'm seeing people discuss how remdesivir is in fact leading to a pneumonia type thing that they're blaming on COVID-19. I'm interested in looking into that. That's been kind of a conversation that's being had. But again, it's your choice is my point. You should have the choice to say, I want hydroxychloroquine, I want ivermectin, blah, blah, blah. The idea that you're forced to listen to your doctor is where we are in the world today. That's not supposed to be the case. Informed consent. You are who decide for your body. That's the fact. And it always has been. They just don't like where that's going, where they don't like that your choice is getting in the way of their agenda. But it says, or with a tube down their throat. The antiviral drug part of this is funny to me because, again, we're talking about how, you know, ivermectin is dangerous or take the pill that does similar things. One of the values of the study, he said, is that it helps public understand the distinction and the fact that not all COVID hospitalizations are the same. Isn't that funny? The only difference is whether you're hospitalized with the injection or you're hospitalized without it. That sounds great, doesn't it? And then if you get hospitalized with it, they go, oh, well, you're one of the good hospitalizations. That guy over there in the exact same situation, nah, he's an unvaxxer, so he's a bad one. Now, obviously, they're arguing that it's less and less severity. How do you prove that? I can point to 99% of people out here that get the COVID-19 or they claim they do or get the test. Or I don't know why they do it, but they get it. They go, well, I'm fine. I got the sniffles and I'm fine. So where's the metric? All it comes down to is trusting what they tell you. This study suggests that COVID hospitalization tallies can't be taken as simple measure of prevalence of severe or even moderate disease because they might inflate the true number by a factor of two. Yeah, it's just one more example, even within their article where they try to make it seem the way they want it to, that you have been deceived. The overall number, whether child hospitalizations or whether adult hospitalizations or whether adult deaths or adult breakthrough cases or total numbers or total deaths or the PCR test or the PIC or every other damn part of this thing that's been shown to be misrepresented, you're being lied to. That's what it comes down to. This is one more example of how this is an illusion. And all they do is go, but oh well, whoops, our mistake. But science is evolving and we're changing, or you know, until tomorrow when it goes, science is settled and this is a fact, near fake news. This is wrong. They lied, they made a mistake, or they actively deceived you. At the end of the day, doesn't matter. Because tomorrow, you won't be able to challenge the next part of it. You can't even say, well, maybe they're wrong about that one. Oh, fake news. You're dangerous. But they just got caught being wrong about the last three things. Who cares? Trust the science. It says, quote, as we look to shift from cases to hospitalizations, this is the overarching point, guys. Remember, we talk about shifting definitions or how the WHO and that art that keep showing you that documentation. I mean, I can just grab that really quickly since that comes up. Interesting, actually. Oh, that's the wrong one. Maybe not so quickly. Here it is. Definitions are like a literal point that they make. Right? As it says here, the pharmaceutical industry and the media only reacted to the welcome boon, which is their pandemics of fear. They call it repeated pandemics of fear. Repeated pandemic health scares caused by these things are culture of fear. All right, this is the WHO 2011, for those that haven't seen it. The point is, as they say, we therefore need fewer, not more, pandemic preparedness plans or definitions. As it says down here, decisions must be based on adaptive responses to emerging problems, not definitions. The reason they state this is because of exactly what we're looking at right here. They say, as we look to shift from cases to hospitalizations, now why would they do that? The metric moves because they want to move how you perceive things. As a metric to drive policy, that's exactly the point, and assess level of risk to a community or state or country, they said, referring to decisions about school closures, business restrictions, mask mandates, and so on, quote, we should refine the definition of hospitalization. Oh, really? How about we just stick with the definition and don't try to alter the meaning of things to suit the narrative? I mean, they're saying it right there. Refine the definition of hospitalization? The only reason that makes sense is to change the way we perceive what they want you to think is hospitalization. As it says, those patients who are there with rather than from COVID don't belong in the metric. What do you know? You know what that sounds like to me? People who die with COVID and people who die from COVID. You remember how that didn't matter to them before, but now it matters. Now it matters in regard to how they frame what happens after the injection. You can't make this stuff up. This is on its face. Like you can't hold up what they're doing on one side of this to the other and not walk away laughing. They are choosing to misrepresent one side versus the other. And people who just agree with this don't care. It's disgusting. Here's the study itself. The COVID-19 hospitalization metric in the pre- and post-vaccination eras. It's funny how they don't really get into the pre versus the post, right? They only want you to look at what they want you to look at. And of course, the Atlantic frames what they like. But it says, all data were obtained from electronic health records. So right out of the gate, recognize this is subjective. It's records that could be wrong. That there's no, this isn't some random controlled study, you know, a peer review. Like this is not what they, at the end of the day, it's just like one of the studies they dismiss regularly if they don't like what it says. But the point is how they use some of it, not all of it. It says disease severity in the vaccine era among hospitalized patients was lower among both unvaccinated and vaccinated patients. So it does make the percentage wise, it does appear as if right now, based on their investigation, that people who are unvaccinated have a basic 8% better, higher chance of being hospitalized. However, what they're saying is all said and done, hospitalization was lower in general. Now, there's very clear points to make there. You don't get an overall lowering of hospitalization unless the vaccination is, I mean, look, their argument is unvaccinated people are at constant risk and we're all going to die there. They're the problem. And yet their hospitalization goes down. What that shows you is that if based on their narrative, remember that the Delta variant is not dangerous, right? It's just very, very clear, but that's not the point I want to make here. But just realize what that shows you, that they can't claim that it's all the vaccinated, unvaccinated, all of them are sick and it's all on them, when you can see that their study shows you that even their threat went down. But it goes on to say in the conclusion, the proportion of hospitalizations that are due to severe COVID-19 has changed with vaccine availability. That's what they find. That's what they say the finding is. But here's, let me show you why that's completely a choice to find that. And I think they actively chose to slant the numbers to make that the finding so they can continue the funding, which is what always happens. But you make up your own mind based on what I'm about to show you. The proportion of hospitalizations that are due to severe COVID has changed with vaccine availability. Now, just based on what we know before we get into it, what has changed? The hospitalizations has changed with vaccine availability. What they're saying is it's gone down. Now, is that because of vaccines or because of the point I made before? Because the Delta variant is less severe in general, that this in general is not very severe. And all we have is a dramatic increase in vaccine problems, while people that half the country who now have antibodies based on this whole process are just not. So you have half the country that are not being affected, and you got the vaccinated people that are struggling with some of it, and you see an overall decrease. That's what that looks like to me. But here's why I can show you that I think this is a misrepresentation, 55% to 42%. As it says, among the 15,196 admissions on or after the time they started this, unvaccinated, 11,569. Vaccinated, 3,627. Seriously? So you're going to take a percentage breakdown and ridiculously slant it on the side of the unvaccinated? I mean, this is the same point of them saying, well, if most people are vaccinated, then most of the people that get sick are going to be vaccinated. That makes sense. Okay, well, if you take 12,000 unvaccinated, compare it to 4,000 vaccinated, what do you think is going to happen? You're going to find whatever you're going to find more on the side of the people that have 12,000 in the group than the ones that have 4,000. That is a deliberate misrepresentation. But here it says, among unvaccinated patients during this period, of course, they had 55% that had, and this is in regard to the hospitalization, had at least one documented case of the oxygen they were using to frame this, right? Of course, people are getting sick in all walks of life. And by the way, this doesn't necessarily have to mean COVID-19. People get on oxygen all the time for severe pneumonia, severe flu, okay? Or other respiratory problems or other lung problems. The point here is that in this case, you had unvaccinated people, 12,000 of them, and they had 55% that had at least one documented necessity for SpO2 versus 42% of a 3,627 group in the vaccinated. If you had 12,000 in both group, it's quite obvious that you would see more in the vaccinated. That's no brainer based on how obviously, if you have 42% of 3,600 and only 55% of 12,000, it's obvious that was a intentional slanting. Because is the Atlantic framing that for you? No, they're just going, boom, more over here, more in the vaccinated, because it works for the narrative. Finally, it says consideration should be given to updating definitions of COVID-19 hospitalization. Exactly. That's the point. Change the definition so we can slant this in the way we want it to be, to improve differentiation between hospitalization caused by COVID and those associated with it. Yeah, exactly. Only when it means that you can change what you want to show us. Isn't that great? So I hope you guys understand how obvious that is. That is ridiculous. If you want a real study and you want a real percentage breakdown, you need 12,000 versus 12,000. And then you need to find out what the percentage is. Otherwise, it means nothing. They're lying to you. My opinion, these people knowingly, intentionally did that. Just my opinion. Now, bringing it over to the reality of what they're trying to hide from you, as this shows, just in. This is as of today. In Israel, the most, and this is so ridiculous to me, the most triple vaccinated country in the world. Daily new COVID-19 cases are at record highs again after a short downward trend. Again. So now we have the third vaccine making the mix, and weird, what do you know? Just like the first correlation, with the administration of the third, we see an increase in problem. Weird. The correlation begins to be very hard to dismiss, doesn't it? Now, check out what this article gets into. This is as of today. Health Ministry Chief says coronavirus spread reaching record heights as over 10,000 new cases are diagnosed. This is a country that has, I mean, as I said, the most triple vaccinated in the world, over 80% vaccinated. Okay, so based on the herd immunity narrative, based on everything they're trying to tell you, that doesn't make sense whatsoever, especially since they were reaching that number before the Delta variant became. Same with Malta. We kept showing you this. In March, they claimed they had already reached herd immunity, and yet somehow the Delta variant, which when it finally came around, somehow was able to break through. That doesn't make sense. The point here, though, is that if they have the majority of the country vaccinated, that's a very easy reality to, or easy thing. It's easy to recognize that means, therefore, that the majority of people in the hospitals and dying are vaccinated. And that's exactly what they're reporting. That's not my opinion. But what we need to realize is that that shows you the narrative is false. They can't keep saying it less than 95% your severity of your hospital. Clearly not. Plainly, clearly not. It says Health Ministry Director has said on Tuesday that the current wave of coronavirus infections is surpassing anything seen in the previous outbreaks. That's unexplainable based on their narrative. And that he's disappointed that a recent downward trend appeared to be reversing. Now, I usually would highlight these, but this page refreshes itself like every 30 seconds these days. So like, I never highlight them anymore, but let's just quickly skim through here. It says that they showed over 10,000 new cases, pointing out that there is an average of 8,000 new infections every day. And we're seeing this in the vaccinated, right? That's the main point that the media and the West is trying to hide from you. This record that did not exist in the previous waves. Oh, gee, what's changed? Right? What's changed? Pretty clearly, we can see what's changed. The additional third, the injections in general. Ash expressed some pessimism, though he observed that belaying fears, there wasn't a large spike in infections following last week's holiday or opening of school. Exactly, because it's not that. That's not what's causing this. After bringing daily infections down to little more than a dozen a day in June, Israel had been battling to control the resurgence of COVID-19 in what has been its fourth wave of infections since the start of the pandemic. Gee. It's almost like it's not doing what they think it should do, and all they're doing is blaming anybody they can for why it's not happening. A week ago, we were clear toward downward trend. It says, as noted, the number of serious ill ranges between 670 and 700. Every day, 70 to 80 new patients fall seriously ill. The numbers of patients on ventilators has climbed. Now it says, this is interesting. Despite the numbers, Ash said the so-called green pass restriction will be removed from open-air swimming pools, in part to help out parents searching for activities for their children during the holiday period. Oh, wasn't that great? So worst pandemic in a century. And if we don't do this, we're all going to die. But oh, they need to have fun. Okay, we'll remove it then. Yeah, that totally makes sense. Well, they need to swim. So let's let them risk the biggest pandemic in a century. Because, right, the reality is that means it's not the biggest pandemic in a century. If all you need is some fun for children, they need to remove the block that was going to save us all until suddenly we need some recreation time. The holiday period, including a week-long festival, the Green Pass enables those who have been vaccinated against COVID recover from the disease. Or, by the way, I have not seen evidence of that. I have not seen evidence of them. I saw multiple politicians say overtly that was not the case. So that's going to need to be confirmed for me. Or recently tested negative. Let's see. Knesset meeting was covered. Making sure they don't have, I don't think it's anything in there. This is pretty clear to me that this is what's happening. As Pfizer says, and the Pfizer executive calls Israel a sort of laboratory for COVID vaccines. Now, it's not the first time. They've also called it the world's lab. That's a direct quote of the world's lab. Now they're calling it a sort of laboratory. Both times, it's pretty obvious that you're living in an experiment. And as I said, yeah, not an experiment at all. Totally not, as they call you an experiment. I mean, it reminds me of a Babylon Bee thing they just made fun of. Remember the Australian politician says the New World Order, the exact phrase says building a New World Order. And of course, everybody's, oh my God, she said New World Order, rightly so. Babylon Bee comes out with an article that says deranged, crazy conspiracy theorist worked up over the fact of, or how'd it go? Deranged conspiracy theorists worry about government building New World Order after government says they're building New World Order. Like, that's just so funny. But that's what happens. They literally say you're the experiment, and people go, oh, fake news. Yeah, I'm not an experiment. They just told you you're an experiment. It's like, wake up, people. Listen to what they're telling you. HPV vaccine side effects reports, and this is so frustrating to me, 2,675 fully vaccinated Americans have died of COVID-19, 11,000 plus breakthrough cases, according to the mainstream media. Here's their article. International Business Times, same point, 2,675 fully vaccinated Americans have died of COVID. which is what they say. Oh, well, of course, because some people will die. Well, they before it was, no, you're going to be safe and effective. You're good. You're fine. Take this, go back to your life. Shifting of the narrative, but they say 11,440 breakthrough cases hospitalized. According to the data from CDC, at least 2,675 Americans died of COVID-19 despite being fully vaccinated. It's far, far, far more than that. As September 7th, the U.S. recorded 11,400 breakthrough hospitalizations, a nearly 1,000 increase from 10,471 breakthrough hospitalizations. Now, remember, they're hiding the full number from you. They're hiding the data because why? They said they're only going to report hospitalized or deaths, which, by the way, on top of that, they hid from you. This is what you have to, here's the main article that they blocked, whatever. I have this still here. 100,000, according to Bloomberg. Actually, 111,000. They're hiding this from you. Now, recognize what they said here. They were saying at the time, only 10,262 cases. This is them saying breakthrough cases. Not hospitalizations, but breakthrough cases, just in general, which they swore up and down were only, you know, total. You're not going to get sick because you have the vaccine, but it's only breakthrough. It's expected, right? Well, this is what they're saying here, where they're going, okay, well, we had 11,000 hospitalizations on September 7th. It increased to 10,000 from 10,471. So it's interesting to me that these numbers are very, very close. So either they were lying to you then by saying 10,000 breakthrough cases when what they meant was 10,000 hospitalizations of breakthrough cases, which is clearly what was happening as they hid the real number, which, by the way, that number is not even the full picture. Because remember, as we reported, this is even Bloomberg was limited by what states were actually counting, which was not all of them. I think this was at most half of them. They were caught lying. So this is another lie. They're keeping this number from you and they're continuing to pretend like it's not the full picture. But even then, this challenges the narrative they said in the beginning. Goalpost move to goalpost, goalpost move. They keep doing this. But the reality is the shift has already gone pretty far in the other direction as they keep reeling and trying to keep you from seeing it. Fact check back on July 29th. Well, it's too soon to say how many are dying in England of COVID-19 that were vaccinated. Remember, that could mean that they're dying from the injection being called COVID-19 or they get sick and however you want to frame that. But here's the fact check, right? Because we all need to trust the fact check, right? Because you're an ignorant conspiracy theorist if you don't blindly trust the fact checks that keep getting shown to be wrong, like we're going to do right now. But here it is. In case you're curious, well, false. I like how the title is, well, it's too soon to say. And their finding is, but it's false though. So we don't know yet, but it's false. Don't you love that? Fantastic. But fact check, false. You can't believe this. And there's plenty of people out there that say, oh, fact check says it's false. So you're crazy conspiracy theorist. Okay. Well, let's jump forward to August 25th, where the British Medical Journal verbatim says significant portion of people admitted to hospital or dying from COVID in England are vaccinated. Okay. So their false fact check, false, according to USA Today, has very clearly panned out to be the case. But now, as the goalpost moves yet again, they just go, but, that just means it's working, though. So it went from, it's a lie, because that's not what's happening, to, yes, that is what's happening, but here's why we explain it. How many times have I said that? Back in foreign policy world, remember? Where it's fake news, and you're a fake news liar until it happens, then they go, but that's not what you were saying. It's the exact same thing, but here's why they explain it, so now it's real, and you're still crazy. Right here. Now, you can read this for yourself. I went through this in its entirety, and it's painful to try to watch this person bend over backwards to argue why this means that they're working or why they it means they don't doesn't mean they don't work. It's obvious. Their narrative is it stops you from getting sick. Predominantly, some people get hospitalized and some die, but the vast majority don't. Well, if you have a significant portion in England that are hospitalized and dying and those are the vaccinated, well, narrative challenged. Doesn't make sense. Then remember that they're already shifting over to this to say, well, no, you just have a soft hospitalization. Oh, that's great. Great. It's insulting. But let's bring this forward to today, where we have a political editor, a Scottish political editor from the Mail, by the way. Just so we see that. It's on the press reader because it's on a print paper. Guess what they're saying? The majority of those dying have had both jabs. It says the vast majority of Scots in Scotland now dying from COVID are fully vaccinated, showing according to the figures from Scotland. And this is where we are right now, guys. This is narrative versus the undeniable reality of the statistics, of the scientific research, of everything else. And we're the ones that are crazy while they're screaming, trust the science. So how does that make sense? The vast majority, not cases, but dying. 3/4 of those who died in the most recent week for which data was available had received both doses. Remember, we just showed you from the public, the public health of Scotland and the public health of England, both of which I believe came from the expose, doing a great job showing you, and that was their independent research. I haven't seen anybody else doing that, continuing to show you that the breakdown, the percentage is obvious. You have a very clearly at least 3 or 4 times higher based on the percentages risk, a higher risk of dying and hospitalization if you're injected. Here we are again, where there are more print newspapers confirming this. And the Mail is a mainstream article, mainstream website, a print publication, and on site, whatever. I'm confusing myself. The point is, but experts have warned the figures are not a reason to avoid getting vaccinated. Wow. As without the jab, guess what? The death toll would be far higher. Well, that's quite the assumption, don't you think? And here we come full circle. Well, I guess not full circle. We come 180 degrees, where now they're saying, no, it's because it's working. I know most people here are dying because they're double jabbed, but they would be even more deaths. You would have a more severe death if you had both jabs, if you didn't have them. How can you be like, they're just simply saying that the death toll would be higher. Okay, so there's no like lessening of severity? I thought that was the whole point. Is your death less severe? I mean, it just doesn't make any sense. It says Professor Linda Ball, the Scottish government advisor and expert in public health at the University of Edinburgh, said, as more people are double vaccinated, there will be a higher proportion. The same narrative they keep saying. That does not make sense. If you have 75, let's just say you've got 90%. Let's say you've got 100% of the population injected. Their argument is that wouldn't be the case. You don't have the majority of cases. And look, the point here to make is that this majority is not some small number. We already showed you the data on the public health of Scotland. There's a lot of people that are struggling. Look at Israel. Through the roof. That doesn't add up. If there was a majority and your narrative is it lessened everything, you would have a few people. And then you could claim that was the majority. But that's not what's happening. That's why they play it like this on one side and just say, well, it's the majority, but it's okay because it's not that many. But that's not. It's not the reality. There's no misunderstanding this. The data backs itself up and you're looking around the full picture. Look at Malta. Look at Iceland. Look at Gibraltar. These places have already admitted this reality. Here's just the print so you can see it. Majority of those dying have had both jabs. Here's Shmuel Harris pointing out exactly, I guess, the reality without meaning to. I'm not sure. By vaccinating the unvaccinated, increasing our testing and masking, and protecting the vaccinated, we can end this pandemic? That's exactly what we are committed to doing. So the reality, their narrative is that getting injected is all you need. And the only reason we need all this other stuff is because of the unvaccinated. So why would increasing testing and masking, if we get the vaccinated, unvaccinated, that's never going away. You are never getting away from that. There will always be somebody out there who's keeping somebody at risk. So you'll be tested, you'll be masked. This is your future. This is the new normal. And this is why people who are playing a part of this, expecting this to go away, are increasingly angry at you because they blame you for not letting this go the way they wanted it to. When in reality, there's a part of them that realizes they were fooled. A part of them that realizes that they have to keep grasping on to the straws of this choice because otherwise their entire situation just falls apart. And they realize that now they're in a situation that they can't define. Am I going to get sick? Do I know what's happening? All right, they can't accept that. But the point here is that she says protecting the vaccinated. Is it safe and effective? That's what they keep saying. If it's effective, why do I need to be protected? The argument should be, their whole point is give the injection to people who are vulnerable so they can be protected. Then you need to protect them from what exactly? This is them trying to, even every step, they're trying to shift this more in the direction that the unvaccinated are people that need to be removed and that we need to protect the vaccinated as some kind of special case. And the vaccinated is why they're like, but there's no real defining of why they're still in danger, right? Am I, as the unvaccinated person, in coming in contact with you, making you at risk? That's what they're pretending, that I'm in. If I come in contact with you, I'm putting you at risk. But that there in it of itself shows the injection doesn't make sense. The real argument, the push behind it is that we're creating the variants that then that put them at risk. So why then are they framing it like we need to be segregated? You see, there's more happening here than and her saying that is not by accident. But what it shows you, as I said, that they're the ones that are vulnerable. Protecting the vaccinated, those with natural immunity, who the CDC puts it more than half the country, I should have said there, are immensely better protected according to the NIH, the Nature, the WHO, the Lancet. I've gone over all this on the show, especially against the variants. Sounds like the vaccinated are the vulnerable ones, but they don't want to admit that, do they? Now, here's something I wanted to point out that I thought was interesting. Now, Gert Van Den Bosch, this guy, we actually interviewed somebody else about him a long time ago or a while back. And I'm highly skeptical about his intentions because of the way he came out early on saying ultimately that the injections were the right path, but in specific times and locations and stuff. So it immediately raised red flags for me. Doesn't necessarily prove he could have just been, you know, misled or wrong or whatever. So I'm just being skeptical. That's the right way to look at this. Nonetheless, he says something that I wanted to share. And this aligns with exactly kind of what we've been talking about. Remember, this is a person that used to work for basically the people we're talking about. Right, so he just has the credentials there in regard. In general, he says independent vaccine research consultant, vaccine discovery, and he's a PhD. All unvaccinated, he says, people who are susceptible to COVID-19 disease because of re-exposure shortly after primary infection due to high infectious pressure, or if otherwise immune suppressed or immunocompromised, that's interesting, immunosensient. And all vaccinees contribute to the ongoing explosive expansion of more infectious and increasingly anti-spike resistant immune escape variants. So right out of the gate, realize that he's of the mind that the injected are creating the variants, which, by the way, is backed up by the scientific research. So I'm not sure why this is so complicated. I mean, I do know why, because of propaganda, social engineering. But he says, we therefore have to rely on the unvaccinated to prevent dominant, highly infectious variants from rapidly evolving toward full resistance to the vaccines. We need, therefore, more unvaccinated people to protect the vaccinees. It's interesting. When presenting with first signs and symptoms, all must have free access to immune-strengthening supplements. I like how he doesn't state just whatever you want, but immune-strengthening supplements, which nobody's getting right now, and early multi-drug treatment, which is like a matter of fact before COVID-19, and now it's just like, oh, well, that's fake news. Just wait till you get super sick, then we'll give you, treat you with the injection and ventilation or whatever else, right? Or technically they want you to get the injection beforehand. But for people like, for instance, the person close to my family who got the injection, then got sick, they send them home and say, well, you know, here's Tylenol. Call us when you're sick. There's no way that makes sense, especially when they're screaming, hospitals are overwhelmed, and we're just going to wait for you to add to that. Treat them prophylactically. That's the point. And early treatment. He says, I'm begging the WHO to give me a chance to explain all the above. I agree with that. Now, this is where there are plenty of people out there who are absolutely living this reality of having something happen. Now, you can argue that they're misinformed or they made a mistake or it was caused by something else. It doesn't change their reality. There are people that have family members who get the injection and days, moments later die. Sure, you can claim it's unverified, which you could say that about literally everything. It's unverified that this is causing the effects that you think it is, right? Just because Pfizer says so, right? Bottom line is, this is what is happening in this person's life. The child gets the injection and dies very quickly afterward. Now, we know it's possible. They've admitted it's possible. Right? They've admitted it. They've admitted these cases, myocarditis, blood clots, vaccine-induced thrombosis, thrombocytopenia, all of which can lead to death. So to pretend that by default, this is fake news is what the media is doing, what the Twitter sphere is doing. And that's dangerous misinformation. But this person did a GoFundMe to try to raise money for his son's funeral, to deal with the obvious ridiculous cost for most people when this kind of thing happens. And GoFundMe removed his page. Nashville Angela says, this isn't the first family GoFundMe this is done to. And she's right. Here's the link to the article. Goodbye to my baby boy. This is the person we're talking about. Now, this story really does upset me. Now, here is from LifeSide News, breaking: GoFundMe deplatforms dad who only son died after the Pfizer jab. A grieving father from Texas who recently lost his teenage son to the Pfizer vaccine had been kicked off of the crowdfunding platform GoFundMe. Ernest Ramirez had been gathering support on GoFundMe so that he could raise awareness about the dangers of the experimental jab in the wake of his only son's death, but was then informed by the website that his fundraiser had been removed because it fell under prohibited conduct in the company's term of service. Right. So his real world experience is prohibited. What he lived through is not allowed. Right. That's what they're saying. Like, so how about you have the only case in New Zealand or whatever the last, I forget, it was New Zealand. Yeah, I believe it was New Zealand. It just came out and said the one we've verified a case of the death to the injection. Okay. So that person goes on this platform and says, as a verified case that the government just proved, and says that here's what happened. Well, they'll censor that. Right? It's not about true or false. You're not allowed to talk about these side effects. YouTube right now has that in the terms of service. You are not allowed to talk about side effects of these injections. Well, they added now that it's approved, right? They did that like instantly once it happened for the 15 and up, which is an illusion in and of itself because the ones they're still giving are the ones that the emergency authorized. Who cares about the facts though? That's crazy. They're censoring people who are living through something that they've admitted is happening. These people are disgusting. And it, by the way, he lost all the money that they did raise because they removed it. Now, I'd love to find out whether or not they gave that money back to the people that donated it. Probably not. Maybe so. Either way, they took that from him. When people donated it to him for the cause, for something that he's dealing with that they refuse to do anything about. You understand that's the other part of this. He's not getting anything because the government says you're crazy. They don't respond. Reports to Veyers, nobody gets back to them. Nobody answers anything. Nobody gives them any money. Nobody gives them any. There's a word that I'm specifically thinking of right now that I can't remember. There's no resolution here. This person does not get to be dealt with. Does not get to be compensated for the problem. And yet he tries to do so of his own accord and he gets removed. God, it drives me crazy. Here's Ivory Hecker. I've just recently saw. I've never seen her before. Looks like somebody who claims to live Fox to become the independent media. Always a good thing, but always skeptical of that. 16-year-old Ernesto Ramirez died of an enlarged heart. This is the person we're talking about. 5 days after the jab, according to his autopsy, which showed his heart was double the normal size. This story documents a father's struggle for answers and justice. Let's watch just this clip.
This vaccine was safe and 100% effective.
And I kept hearing more advertisement about, yeah, it was safe for the teenagers. So I said, okay. He was running and he just collapsed. You know?
Did you know that the vaccine was still being studied?
Not really. I believe what they were saying. 2-3 weeks later, CDC started announcing children having enlarged hearts.
A typical heart weighs for a boy this age would be less than 250 grams. In this case, it was more than 500 grams. It was more than twice enlarged.
How many deaths associated with COVID-19 vaccines have happened in Hidalgo County?
I did call the health department to see what they've done subsequently.
Yeah.
Yes, Steve, what'd you find out about that kid? He didn't show any interest. And we had all these sheets and stuff that we needed to do.
Oh, just trying to process the paperwork. So he could have slipped through the cracks.
I shouldn't have been so ignorant. I need to yell. I need to fight. I need to do something. His life was worth much more than what the government or anybody else thank you.
Worth checking out the clip. The full story. I mean, it's pretty sad. It's disgusting. Right? These people are struggling through something that a lot of people are struggling through. And Angela Nashville shows those clips a lot where it's just a 10-minute constant clip of like 1,000 people saying, I got this. Here's what happened to me. I need to be heard. They're being dismissed as people that don't exist. It's horrific. This is where they are, where these people are, like he said, they told him it's fine. You're fine. It's safe and effective. And then after his one shot that he later died afterward, they then said, oh, well, now we've got reports. You know what the missing part of that story is? Well, Ryan from T-Lab has been screaming that for the last 6 months, right? So how did I possibly know that this is a very real threat and yet somehow they only just found out? How is that possible? Because they knew and they hid this from you. There's no way to misunderstand this. And guess what? Jerry Young pointed this out to me. He's trying to share this on Facebook. They won't even let him share the story. They literally won't let him share the story about what just happened. Think about that. This is a coordinated effort from GoFundMe, Twitter to Facebook, whatever it is. They are hiding the narrative. Crazy. Finally, to finish off this before we jump into the next part that kind of correlates with the same idea here. Another study on top of all the other work we've done, which I have these linked over here. I'll just show you in a minute. The other myocarditis discussions from Precision Vaccinations. Fact checked by Robert Carlson, MD, which I don't even know what that means, right? It's like, so another person read it after the one person read it or did it. So who fact checked the fact checker, right? It's just so stupid. But heart inflammation risk following mRNA COVID-19 vaccination, guess what? Could be common. Oh, weird. That rare, uncommon thing actually could be common. Who could have guessed? In fact, it's far more obvious. You know why this is added more important to the other parts are increasing your risk. They claim, well, it's uncommon, but it can increase your risk by 3 times, 4 times the risk. That's what the Lancet with the Journal of Infectious Diseases, they've all shown you this already. The media is hiding from everybody. That's what we're talking about here. An enlarged heart could be common. That is disgusting, especially since we just showed you that non-filament, non-serious cases of myocarditis, according to the 2009 peer-reviewed study, found that it could be a 25 to 56% increase in mortality from 3 to 10 years. Non-serious. But will increase the children's risk that have a 0% chance, 1 in a million, in fact, of getting COVID by 3 to 4 times for this thing that could kill them. That seems common. Totally makes sense, doesn't it? Well, on that note, Los Angeles School Board just voted to mandate COVID-19 vaccines for eligible students 12 and over. Do you know why this is such a big deal? Because right now, they're mandating an emergency authorized injection for 12, because it's 15 and up. 15 and up is the approval. So this school has decided to mandate to force an injection that's experimental and unapproved for 12-year-olds to 15-year-olds. That's a fact. And they mentioned the article. They don't care because it's been accepted. People go, well, it's kind of approved, so let's just run into it. This has been given, they have been given safe passage by the government. They're allowed to do this now, and people won't hold them accountable for it. This is a crime. All of it's a crime. It's a crime to force even an approved substance into your body, but it's a crime to do this even more so, especially for people that have a 1 in a million chance of getting sick. 1 in a million. For those that have seen it, bear with me. I know he's repeating it again. Always got to repeat, repeat, repeat. Why? Because that's what they're doing constantly. Repeating the narrative over and over, the false narrative over and over, repeating it over and over and over, safe and effective, safe and effective. Why? Because they know that if they repeat it enough, it becomes the reality in people's minds that are not listening, that aren't paying attention. So here it is again, for those that haven't seen it. 19-year-old male, not sick. According to Oxford calculator, you have a 1 in a million chance. A 1 in a million chance. 1 in a million of dying. Even hospitalization, 0.0021%. You aren't at risk. This is a 0% statistically significant. 0%. It's not statistically significant. But here they are forcing it on those children with a 1 in a million chance. Make sure that's clear. The all eligible students attending Los Angeles Unified Public Schools, the nation's second largest school district, will be required to inject the COVID-19 injection by the end of the year. Because they voted that, because they make law, right? The school board makes law, apparently. In a special meeting held Thursday, the LA school board decided by unanimous vote. Hopefully you guys, if you live in LA, know their names, know who they are, know what they just did. I'm not calling for violence, because that's what I always want to pretend is happening, but make sure you're aware of who just made this happen and how unconstitutional and criminal their actions are. Whether that means you can vote differently next time, if you believe that makes a difference, or whatever, use it to make a difference. Violence is never the answer. A unanimous vote that a mandate was appropriate based on the surge of cases because of the Delta variant. Right, the Delta variant, which is not as severe, which clearly is showing that people who have natural immunity are not affected. People who are injected, it doesn't work against, but let's force this in their arms with zero risk because of something that doesn't stop the problem anyway, according to their data. You realize how this is just about compliance and narrative. It says the proposed approval Thursday requires all eligible students 12 years of age or older to receive their first injection. and the second by December 19th. The district, which includes more than 600,000 students, already mandates the vaccine for teachers and staff, which is a crime, requires face coverings be worn by all, even though they're injected, which makes no sense, and test, which, by the way, it's dangerous regardless, but their narrative says that that shouldn't matter, and tests all students and staff infections weekly. Oh, so you're being tested and masked even though you have injections? That adds up. Classrooms have also been outfitted with enhanced ventilation systems in an effort to decrease the spread. How much you want to bet that means the Grignard Pure system that we already showed you is dangerous? I told you this was already being used. We talked to the woman on the phone. It's not meant to be used in places that people then use, like directly. This is meant for like industrial cleaning. Or at the very least, it's used. And then she said at least, you know, like half a day a time again to let it dissipate. No. That's not what this is being used. Now, I'm not sure that's what this is. But I have a feeling these ventilation systems that have already been in California predominantly were already being pushed are using that sanitization spray, which is coming from Grignard Pure. And they use the oxide stuff we already talked about, which is clearly the stuff they use in those smoke machines. It's not safe. But that, we'll dig into that further as we go forward. The mandate will apply to all vaccine-eligible students who are attending school in person and would allow those with qualified and approved exemptions to opt out, though the conditions weren't specified. Of course not, because that means they're not going to approve anything. They're going to decide for you whether they believe your religious exemption is sincerely held. That's in all the documentation, including Biden's executive order. Sincerely held religious belief. You know how patronizing and insulting that is? So they're going to say, we don't believe that you mean it. How do they verify that? Where's the metric? It ends up being their choice. Qualified exemptions. Oh, I see. It means nothing. Students who decline the vaccine, who have no exemptions, can participate in online. So they're going to shove you back in your home, which has already shown to increase teen suicide by 150%. But who cares? It's all about safety and health, right? About 15,000 students are currently enrolled in the remote learning program. Dr. Richard Pan, who, right, by the way, is a horrendous person, or like a sociopathic, maniacal vaccine pusher. And we've talked about this in the past. This is the person who's been pushing mandatory vaccines for children long before COVID-19, who, despite the procession of tens of thousands of parents that came in to say, no, we don't want this, and only a couple people came in to say we do, they passed it anyway, which is exactly what always happens. So here he is, this state senator, a pediatrician, a district parent advocated for the measure. Pushing for community immunity, he says, to protect the kids that are 0% risk, that are too young to be eligible for the vaccine, who are at 0% risk. He doesn't care about that. He praised the choice by the school board, quote, for leading the way and following the science to ensure schools are safe. Seriously? This is what I mean by saying follow the science when you are literally not looking at it. 0% risk, according to the CDC. Asymptomatic spread has been basically non-existent according to all the scientific studies, including the largest one that's been done. 1 in 1 million risk of dying. So they can't spread it. They're not at risk. What are we talking about, Mr. Pan? Your maniacal vaccine agenda, apparently, because we're pushing it on them. You go, they're not eligible, so we have to make... This is crazy. Quote, we must be the ones who decide for our children, not the district, not anyone else. Excuse me. This is admonished parent Carla Franca, which I agree with. This is... The fact that they're pretending that they have the choice to force this on your children is beyond me. Ultimately, we want our schools to stay open, and the best way to ensure that is to have as many people as possible who want our schools vaccinated, says the union president. There's no way that adds up to what they're saying elsewhere in this discussion. How, if giving an injection to people that have zero risk, that, by the way, doesn't stop the spread, doesn't stop the transmission, doesn't stop people from catching it, doesn't stop them from spreading it, doesn't decrease the viral load. In fact, it increases the viral load. How does any of that add up with saving anybody? Like, anybody want to insert logic in there for me? So they're not at risk. They can still spread it. But their argument is this is going to stop people from spreading it and catching it amongst a group that aren't at risk. It's just comical to me. School board member Nick Melvoin urged the board to support the mandate and to return kids to a sense of normalcy. Right. There's the carrot and stick. So now we told you, the return to normal is hinging on the vaccine being given to everybody. 15 days to flatten the curve has become, well, take this injection or you're going to be stuck in your room for the rest of your life, even though you don't need it. Quote, it's our moral, ethical, political, pick a word. It's our responsibility to protect the children that are under 12 can't get protected any other way. Zero risk. How do you need to protect a child at zero risk? This is just stupid. But it's our responsibility. What about the children? Remember this classic narrative? Who's going to think of the children? This is a constant ploy. And in this case, a very terrible one, because these kids aren't at risk. It says, quote, political science is not medical science, added board member George McKenna. It would be a mistake not to trust the medical science at this point, right? Because that's what they want you to do. Just trust it. Don't think, don't question, don't do due diligence. Just trust the science. That's what they keep saying. Because the alternative is to do nothing? This is a doctor saying this. Or excuse me, a board member. I take that back. Regardless, a very highly uneducated, uninformed board member. So there's literally nothing else we can do but inject these kids with something that increases their risk while they don't have a risk. That's the only thing we can do. That's a false dichotomy, obviously. Students who decline to get the vaccine but don't have an exemption can enroll in the district's independent study program. An online resource about 15,000 students. The reason I wanted to read that again is because I find it interesting that most all of these CNN articles, and mainstream for that matter, do this quite regularly. Ask yourself why they would reset. We'd say this verbatim. Students who decline the vaccine have exemption. 15,000 students are currently enrolled. And then literally say the same thing again. Like the exact same arc. Is that a mistake? No, it happens all the time. I believe this is somewhat about repetition propaganda. Just my thought, but I find it really weird that they do that quite frequently. But it says the vaccine by Pfizer Biotech is the only one available in the U.S. authorized for emergency use for children 12 to 15. Now, this also speaks to the approval discussion for those still confused on that, because 12 to 15 wasn't approved, even though this is the same substance. Though the vaccine has received full approval by the FDA for people 16 and older. Right. So they're right now giving, they're forcing this on children, even though it's not approved. But again, remember, even if it was approved, it would still be wrong. But this is even more illegal. But they're acting like because, well, they kind of did it, then we're going to make this leap. It says, but that's not an issue, right? The not being approved, unexperimental, unapproved injection, that's not an issue for the school board of LA. Quote, we understand the benefits far outweigh the risks. So the emergency authorization really isn't weighing into our decision. Does that sound like a group that even cares about the legal situation, whether or not it's even allowed? So they've decided, based on what they've been told by the media, that the benefits far outweigh the risk. A child is at 0% risk, according to the Oxford calculator, on 1 in a million chance. Zero. Statistically speaking, zero. And they're going to tell you that the benefits of an injection that right now the Lancet and Journal of Infectious Medicine, plenty of the rest, are telling you increase your risk of myocarditis. Not for some, for anybody. There's an increased risk of myocarditis by a few times over. That's an increased risk where they don't have any. Here they are saying, well, who cares? Because the benefits outweigh the risk. So regurgitate the narrative and we can inject children who don't need it. Guess what White House Press Secretary Psaki had to say? Good for them. Good for them. Inject the children with some poison they don't need, right? Inject it for them. Well, that's very subjective of me to say, but that's how I feel. It's just disgusting how this is a top-down pushing narrative that doesn't care about what you want, what you need, or what's actually happening. Here's Anna Cabrera saying, new children ages 5 to 11. So we're already down the path. See, they're already forcing this on your 12-year-olds, even though they haven't even approved that part of it. Now, children aged 5 to 11, they're saying, could have access to this by Halloween, according to the FDA Commissioner Gottlieb. The one that works for Pfizer now. At least they mentioned that. He told CBS the company's expected to have data on his age group by September. Right. So all we care about is what their arbitrary data that's based on limited, very selectively chosen data points from very short periods of time to say, here, it looks, it works. It's 95% effective. It's slightly reducing how your eyes feel. It totally works. It's 100% effective at making you not feel terrible. Right? Whatever this is, like, I'm just making jokes. That's where we are. It's 95% effective, we hear, but all it does is, I guess, reduce your symptoms while you're almost dying in the hospital. It'd be way worse if I had, right? Why are they giving it or even talking about giving it to 5 to 11-year-olds? Well, it gets even worse. Guess what? Just today, breaking, Pfizer to submit data for FDA for children 6 months to 5 years old. This is just criminal. If we do not do, see, this is where we get into the argument of people where they're like, look, this is becoming to a point where I need to like physically stand in between these people. This is unreal. But we need to realize that it's not as all-encompassing as they want you to think it is, right? Violent action is not the answer here. That's what they're trying to coax you into. Do not fall for it. What we need is to stand in the way. Be the block. Do not act. Do not give them a reason to do something. But I strongly believe that half this country, if not more, are on your side. What they want is for you to react under the assumption that you're the fringe and you need to stop this at all costs. That is exactly what their narrative is expecting. Just like with Pizzagate and just like with anything else, they want to either falsely create it or drive you to act. They're desperate for QAnon to act out in some violent way on a vaccine. And they'll blame it all and they'll say, there you go, we told you so. Now we need to force this thing even more. But here's what's actually going on. And we all see this if you're watching the show, but this is being hidden from everybody. Reports of injuries, this is from the 10th. Deaths after COVID vaccine hit new heights. This isn't slowing down, right? If they just don't care about what Bayer's is showing you. As Biden rolls out plan to force 100 million more Americans to get vaccinated, Bayer's data released Friday by the CDC showed a total of 675,593 reports of adverse events from all age groups following COVID-19 injections, including now over 14,000 deaths, 88,000, over 88,000 serious injuries between December 14, 2020 and September 3rd, 2021. Now, yes, obviously, these are unverified. Now, you know why they're unverified? Because the CDC and the FDA refuse to verify them. Now, this is what I keep trying to say. It's obvious to point out that some of these could be wrong. I'm almost guaranteeing you that some of them are false. Especially now, where there's so much political charge up on either side, where there are people reaching out and saying, you know, yeah, I died. This person died just because they think they're lying for their truth. Now, there's also people that are coming in and saying, it turned me into this or that. Like, I'm a horse now, trying to flood it with nonsense the other way. I promise you that's happening. But that's because it's been so hyper-politicized. Regardless of any of that, realize that the reason this is not verified is because they refuse to verify it. That's the takeaway. It's not like they've gone through all these and walked away saying they're all fake. That's what the media wants you to think. That's what the Twitter got people on Twitter want you to say. But I've been saying this from the beginning, and I'm clearly being vindicated in that regard. They do not, simply do not have the resources to look into all the things that are happening. Are we going to pretend almost 700,000 reports they've all investigated? Yeah, right. It's not happening. Just 14,000 deaths. We're talking autopsies and records and 50 different states, and within that, multiple different cities and on, months-long investigations to make sure that's not going to happen right now. So all they're saying is it's unconfirmed, but they're using that statement to mean it's not real. It's one of the many illusions of this whole thing. Of the 677, I actually just realized something that I need to write down. That's important right there. What I'm trying to gather for these things is the illusion and add it to my list. Bayer's is a good one on that regard, right? Because it's a very clear illusion, and almost in the other way, right? The lack of action and keeping that from your view. Anyway, of the 6,577 U.S. deaths reported as of September 3rd, 12% occurred within 24 hours of vaccination. 24 hours. 18 occurred within 48 hours. 31 occurred in people who experienced an onset of symptoms within 48 hours of being vaccinated. It's disgusting how they're pretending this hasn't happened. Now, on that note, I've shown this before. Open Vayers is a great website to check out, one that you can confirm for yourself. Right? Very important to understand that this is directly tapped in to the Vayers database. Right? That's where they're getting it from. You can cross-reference it for yourself. So one of these images that's been circulating the internet that people keep like saying, oh, where does that even come from? It's totally unverified. It's not. This is a picture that comes directly from this website aggregation of data. That is backed up by Vayers, which is what it's pulling the data from. Okay, so you can read this, and that's what it says right there. The quick just overview to see from this is the reality of how ridiculously high all of these numbers are, right? The numbers before are all the years leading up to this, starting at the year 2000. The large spike at the end is the year 2021, and it's showing you deaths versus every other year, existing hospitalization, prolonged death every year, hospitalization, grand total, all these things are dramatically higher than any other year before it, only on COVID-19. Now, you could dismiss this all you want. It's impossible not to see that it points to something. To argue every single one of these things is some kind of that they're all lying is a choice, first of all, because you haven't proven that, but it's also almost an impossible thing to claim. Some of these are real, just like what Harvard and HHS said when they did the research themselves. Now, here's a sad story of somebody just shared with me. Again, just somebody who died after the injection, but I want to make a clear case for what this looks like to me and how sad it is that we, and I want to argue again, even in our Discord community, guys, this is not something we should relish. We should not be laughing and poking and cheering on how this person who attacked, you know, even if he did the opposite, even if he attacked, which he did, people who were uninjected as morons and idiots and then later passed away after the injection, be better than them, guys. Be sad about this person who was lied to and deceived by the government to the point to where he thought he was right. We should feel bad for this person, sad for this person. We should mourn for this person because he was lost. That's the point. Here's what it says. Jordan Hayes. I mean this with all my heart. This is a Facebook post that was recently removed, and you'll see why. And it is truly spoken with love. If you don't believe in vaccinations, I genuinely think you're an idiot. Like legitimately dense, a moron. I hope that every soda you order is flat. I hope that one of your boot heels has a click that you can't figure out why. I hope that you hit every red light. I hope that when you wake up in the morning and head outside to snag the paper from the lawn, you walk through your front door and into a spider web. But primarily, I hope none of your family and friends suffer from your complete failings as a functional member of society. Trust me, I understand why you'd want to revel in the problem, but be better than them. Now, Jordan Hayes on March 24th, going forward from this was February 23rd, says 2020 was a complete descent into madness, fueled by home haircuts, regrettable facial hair, and too many nights spent at the desk. I am beyond stoked to be vaccinated, and I can't wait to start kissing everyone on the lips again. Now, just for my take, like even this, as much as this is insulting, it's funny, right? I mean, he's making jokes that are actually pretty funny in a way because they're kind of small things that it makes me sad that this person seems like somebody who is just fooled. Who in otherwise outside of the COVID madness might be somebody you would be friends with or laugh with because this is funny, you know, the way the general kind of lighthearted nature of it. But at the end of the day, he's brainwashed into thinking that you're a bad person for making your own choice. But he got injected. That's the point. Now, he died. 33-year-old New York man who said the things we just played for you died 14 weeks after the injection. Now, you could argue maybe something else. Of course, it could be. Here's the point, though. It says, Mr. Hayes went to the emergency room at Mount Sinai Hospital on or around July 1st complaining of chest pains, which is the most common thing I'm hearing right now from everybody. Multiple people who I know in my family, not close necessarily, one person actually, very close, but other in general, but I'm hearing people just have chest pains on a regular basis after the injection. You know why? Because we just talked about this. And we talked about the parasites, the PCs, not parasites like P, they're spelled P-E-R-C-Y-T, whatever. It's a heart piece. I thought it was weird that's pronounced the same way too. There's a new study, there's plenty of others that are showing that the spike protein alone can attach itself and create swelling in the heart as well. And remember, this is something that's being created by an injection that's being given to people. And it even goes on to say it's separate from the infection site in you know, the discussion of SARS-CoV-2. So that means that injecting this thing into your body can lead to the same problem. And then you add on the discussion of how that very clearly can lead to all the other problems of blood clots and heart problems. So this person having chest pains as a young person is interesting and very telling. Chest pains devolved into a heart attack that required 2 open heart surgeries. So now it gets very obvious. A young person having a heart attack is an obvious indication there's something wrong here. Mr. Hayes, now is it possible? Of course it is, but it's abnormal. Mr. Hayes suffered multiple strokes during the surgeries. Now you put 1, 2, and 3 together, guys, it's very clear what's going on here. He passed away on July 6th, according to a GoFundMe page. It's very sad. He had a wife. I feel bad for this person and his wife. Chest pains to heart attack. Heart attack to strokes. This is right out of the textbook of what Dr. Bakhti, Dr. Eden, and every other thing we're seeing around this conversation is showing you. Very, very sad. Now, of course, they've suddenly shut down the GoFundMe. You can't even access the Facebook page. Everything's blocked and removed. Why? Well, because it very clearly indicates what's going on. And they've invested their lives, even to the point of their own real actual lives, into the vaccine being good at all costs. So now we cover up the path that shows you the vaccine might have been the cause. Very sad. But this is what we're seeing. A lot of people like this that are smugly, patronizingly making fun of everybody, and then they pass away. Now, of course, by the way, you could make the argument in reverse, right? You could be like, oh, well, people over here are saying, I'm never going to get injected. And then you go, yeah, sure, that's an argument too. But the data does not back that up. We hear stories of narratives. Oh, this one person has this really sad story, and then he begged for the vaccine before he died. Yeah, we keep hearing that. But where are the metrics? Well, the metrics point to predominantly vaccinated being the problem right now. And I keep showing you that. That's all that really matters, guys. The data. That's all we do here. So when they give you this story about, oh, look at the beeping monitors and look at this is how COVID sounds. And then you pretend that means that's what's happening everywhere. That's your choice to be deceived. The data that we keep showing you from their narrative doesn't seem to show you something. Challenges what they're saying. Now, adding to this point, which really bothers me about the experts, the authority telling you, looks like she's flipping you off there, which is funny, telling you this is the case and everything else is fake news. Well, recognize this keeps happening. Or people like Jen Psaki or people like Dr. Fauci or many others. I think, wasn't there an example I gave you in the beginning too? Right. Okay. Dr. Fauci, I forgot. I just talked about this, of him saying, oh, no, the paranoid stuff, you know, the paranoid stuff like masks and distancing, that's crazy. Just live your life healthy and you're fine. This is 2019. This is before COVID-19, right? So these are the experts who are now saying something literally opposite, and we're supposed to trust them now? Well, here is a point that I just can't get past, and I've been saying this from the very beginning, but listen to what Dr. Fauci has to say here, and then let me show you why this is dangerous, like the epitome of dangerous medical misinformation. Coming from the leading doctor of the country, whatever they call him.
During COVID-19, I'll show you in a moment, 19 vaccination and pregnancy. Next slide. It is very clear now, as I'll show you in a moment, that there are severe adverse outcomes for mother and baby during COVID-19 infection. Therefore, it is extremely important for pregnant women and women planning to get pregnant to get vaccinated.
Okay. So right out of the horse's mouth, right? He is straight up saying, because we know somehow, which by the way, how in the world they could know that the people that are pregnant with babies are going to, like they have estimations based on limited studies, but they don't know anything. And that's very clear because this is still happening, right? I mean, it's amazing how they pretend that, but just to say, let's pretend they do. Let's say they know as a matter of fact that pregnant women will have severe outcomes if they get COVID-19. And now let's just take for a general assumption that these women are probably below 40 years old, get mostly, because that's generally the case. So based on their own metrics, most of them are not even close to being at risk. Okay, so take that as a matter of fact, that they have to get it first. 99% won't get it. Okay, that's every single category other than over 80 with comorbidities, like 99%, they won't get it. Or let's just be more very specific, they won't die. They're complicated, it'll come and go, won't even notice. That's the majority based on CDC data for those shaking their heads, okay? Now, the point is that you're telling them that they have these problems that they could get if they get this very slim chance of a problem. That's severe. So you should take the injection. But here's the problem with that. On the most recent, as of August 23rd, it still says, well, first of all, I want to point out the contrast. This is the document they give to you. It says, what if I'm pregnant? It says, well, if you're pregnant, you should discuss it with your healthcare provider, which they changed. They removed everything. Why? Because they don't want you to know that it's not very safe or that they don't know. So they pretend, well, just ask your doctor, which I'm sure your doctor will say, just you should do it because Fauci said you should do it. Well, here's what the actual document says. This is the current document as of August 23rd. The one they give to the nurses. Well, pregnancy. Here's what it says. Available data on Pfizer BioNTech vaccine administered to pregnant women are insufficient to inform vaccine-associated risks in pregnancy. Like, guys, this should be a bombshell. This should be, this should be a clip right here. This should be bombshell news everywhere in the media. Fauci literally just said that pregnant women should get this thing because the risks of getting COVID-19 outweigh the risks of the injection, except we literally do not know the risks of the injection. Right? That used to be a big story, except it will be suppressed and censored, right? Maybe Jimmy Dore will pick it up in 6 months and make it a story. Who knows? Maybe, right? But the point is that we'll be suppressed. The mainstream media will ignore it. And this doesn't happen. It's not real. I can't believe how dangerous and wrong this is. He is straight up telling pregnant women to be injected. Doctors will use his statement as a matter of fact, and we don't know the risks. How can the benefits outweigh the risks if you don't know the risks of being injected while pregnant? Makes me sick. I want to sit here and harp on this for 20 years. Going forward, the other part of it in regard to lactation, data are not available to assess the effects of the injection on breastfeeding an infant. So they don't know whether you're going to pass this on, by the way, which has already been shown to be the case. We've already shown an example early on of a child dying after being breastfed from a mother who was injected within days. At the time, they said, we don't know for sure, and they dismissed it. Well, we've already shown you evidence of how this can circulate your body and very clearly can shed. And here we are with children dying. Nothing new for what they've been doing. I just can't believe that. So now that's why they're researching it, right? Let that sink in, right? So Fauci says, do it. Inject the babies and the mothers because we don't know what those risks are. So now they research it. People said the COVID vaccine affected their periods. Well, now more than 1.6 million will go into researching that exact topic. NIH funds studies to assess potential effects of COVID vaccination on menstruation. Not necessarily pregnancy, but realize that they're studying this thing on you. They right now are telling people, no, that's fake news. This doesn't affect your periods. I've already seen the CNNs and the Fox News of the world laugh about how dumb we are for pointing out there's no effects on reproductive. Okay, except there are literal studies that find exactly that, both on reproductivity as well as menstruation. Doesn't mean that proves it's the case, but it means that it's not something to be laughably dismissed. And now they're studying it after they dismissed and censored people for pointing out that it was possible, right? This is why they don't know, because they don't know. And yet Fauci's screaming that we have to do it and we're going to force this on people. Now imagine you're a pregnant woman working at the government. Imagine you're a pregnant college person or person in school. Right now, you have to take this. They're forcing this on you, even though they literally do not know what it will do to you. And we are the crazy ones. Now, the part that really, really gets under my skin that I just can't get past is the myocarditis risk, which we've already shown you many times. This is the two articles, the two shows we did, where this one's the deliberately obscured risk of myocarditis. Serious risk, because it is very serious. And the one we did after that, which follows up on it, which says the injection is quite literally increasing your risk. There's multiple studies that you should read. So keeping that in mind, I really hope you'll go watch those, because the myocarditis part of this is just unreal to me. They're forcing it anyway. And this risk is much higher for people, the young boys, I guess is the argument. But it showed you on all these that it's there for everybody. The increased risk of myocarditis is for anybody taking this injection. New York Mayor Bill de Blasio is now threatening to withhold your paycheck if you're a police officer, if you don't take the injection. So right now they are literally firing nurses who don't take this, in some cases 30, 40% of their work staff, and watching hospitals struggle because of it, and acting like we can't do things. We can't deliver babies. We can't do this stuff for you. And acting like that's the right thing to do because vaccine, and then pretend like all that is in interest of your health. Totally makes sense, because the only thing that health means today is injections and COVID-19. Health has only one definition today, not COVID, you know, COVID-19 fighting injections. That's it. Nothing else matters. Increasing teen suicide, 150%. Who cares? That's fine. Let's get the injection in your arm that increases risk anyway. He's forcing this on you. Now ask yourself, how about the police? Right? The idea that we're pretending that we need the police, we go, we're never going to withhold their paychecks. We're going to stop them from being paid for a job they've been doing as heroes, we keep being told, to protecting your life, except now that doesn't matter because injection. Nothing is sacred to these horrific people. Nothing. Remember, the very nurses that were all heroes are now being fired. Let that sink in. Just in, U.S. Army active duty troops are now required to be fully vaccinated by December 15th. Now ask yourself this. Doesn't that show you that we're going to have a very clearly weakened defense system if you believe that's something we should be dealing with? I mean, I have definite opinions on that, but I know that's an argument people are making. If you believe we need to be strong to fight off China, well, this isn't going to help, is it? On top of the fact that we're going to see people leave because of this. Doesn't matter. It's not about anything else. This is a literal end game at all costs agenda. They are pulling out the stops. Now, this is the point I was just making. This is in French. You can listen to it. But it says is that their hospital, where dozens of planned surgeries are being canceled right now, as decided by Macron, because of 30% of hospital staff being suspended. 30% not vaxxed because they're not vaxxed. And there's nobody to replace them. As they pointed out, yeah, totally about health. All right, so it doesn't matter. We're going to stop all treatments, surgeries, everything, because we can't deal with it. And that's about your health? As I keep telling you, CEOs of hospitals have already spoken up and said the danger, the damage being caused by not enough people is far more catastrophic than worrying about people who aren't vaccinated. They don't care because the government doesn't care. That's why the government, when their advisors say, the scientist experts they use as their advisors, like SAGE or the panel that they use in the UK, when they say something that goes against what they want, they just do what they want anyway. I've shown you three times they've done that. So is it trusting the science? No, it's trusting the politics. Australian state plans to lock out unvaccinated while Florida doctor refuses to treat them. Well, as I've pointed out many times, the FDA document literally says, if you don't want to take this, it won't change your medical treatment. But yes, it will, because it's happening everywhere. Law doesn't matter anymore because endgame, guys, that's where we are. They're going to lock you out. They already told you, we're going to build different economies. You're going to be, remember when this was all fake news? You were the craziest person alive for pretending this would happen. They and those people know that, trust me. At some level, the ones still pretending you're crazy, they know that you're right. They know this was what you told them would happen. They just can't stop. Because if they do, it'll be admitting that they made a bad decision. Well, here's Fauci calling for unvaccinated Americans to be banned, literally banned from air travel, in order to mandate the and to mandate this for schools, for children. You know, the children with 0% risk. And banning you from travel, which was also one of those big, crazy conspiracy theories.
Of the population, if we get the overwhelming proportion of the population vaccinated, we will get to herd immunity. If we do it in the next 6 months, it will happen in the next 6 months. If we do it in the next 2 months, it'll happen in the next 2 months. I would support that. If you want to get on a plane and travel with other,
just real quickly on that point, that why it's so insulting to our intelligence to pretend that what about Malta? What about Israel? What about like seven other places that very clearly screamed about reaching herd immunity based on your data, Fauci, back before this got bad? So we're told anyway, right? Before the Delta craze. And yet they're still in the same. In fact, they're some of the worst, right? Look at Malta. Look at their skyrocketing number. Look at Israel. You can't keep pretending that by reaching the numbers that they reached, we'll then have herd immunity. It's all about pushing us to reach that number so you can then argue new variant. Or the unvaccinated caused this to happen and now we have to start all over. Whatever the narrative is, you keep driving it in based on the fact that this is reaching some endpoint that will stop this. And there's living real world examples of how that's literally not the case. These people know that. They're not stupid. Either they're lying because they think it's the greater good, which some people tell themselves, or they're lying because they're achieving some kind of nefarious end. Either way, guess what? They're lying to you.
The people that you should be vaccinated. I would support that if you want to get on a plane and travel with other people, that you should be vaccinated. When you hear us say, should you mandate vaccination for children to be able to attend school? Some people say, oh my goodness, that would be terrible to do that. But we already do that and have been doing that for decades and decades. I don't know what school you went to, but the school that I went to, you had to be vaccinated for measles, mumps, rubella, polio, or otherwise you couldn't go to school. So it is not something new to mandate vaccines for school children. The solution that we have at our hands is vaccines. If we get the overwhelming proportion of the population vaccinated...
Paul, excuse me. Apologies for that.
If we do it in the next 6 months, it will happen in the next...
I thought it was longer than that. I was trying to find something. Well, I just want to say this really quickly. Well, first of all, hold on. I had a point there.
To mandate vaccines for school children. The solution that we have at our hands is vaccines. I went to...
Right. That real quick point before I forget, and then I want to comment on something that was said in the chat. You cannot compare these other technologies. They know this. They're just simply pretending it's the same thing because they know that people who are uneducated about the topic will go, yeah, of course, because we've been doing it forever. It's not the same thing, not the same technology. It's not even the same substance. These are literally different things. That's why people, it is gene therapy. They called it that before this became what it is today. So it's just so funny how the narrative is driving facts when the facts are there. But regardless, you can't pretend, well, we got vaccinated for this and for this and for this. It's not the same thing. This is an experimental substance, as they call it, investigational themselves. But yet here he is, knowingly being deceptive. He knows that. He just wants to get this in your child's arm for some very scary reason. But in the chat, I was trying to look for this in the other part of it, but I want to make something clear in general, guys. We got to be very... Now, look, I can't control people say in the chat, especially people that come in with the intention to troll and do something wrong. But we, as especially those in my Discord community and those people out there that are always here, do not give them a reason to make us look like something that they want us to look like, right? Such as telling Fauci to go kill himself or something like that, right? That's not who we are. And we need, regardless of whether you think that, to put it in the chat only reflects on TLAV, and they will then go, there is somebody calling for violence against one of these people. Therefore, TLAV is calling for violence against these people. He's a terrorist, domestic terrorist, fighting against the vaccine. We all see how this can go. Now, I'm not trying to call anybody out. I know where your intentions are coming from, but let's be careful on that in general, right? We need to be better than that. Now, going forward, he is pushing this in a mandate sense. Remember, this is before, or rather after, they were claiming this would never happen. Here's another one from today.
Do we know that the virus travels when people move around the country? Don Beyer, the Democratic congressman from Virginia, has a bill proposing that people traveling within the United States on airplanes and trains should either be vaccinated or provide proof of a negative COVID test. This is very common practice now in Europe. I've just been traveling all over Europe. You can't get on a plane without having some kind of proof that you're negative. It seems to me crazy that a year and a half into this, I can still get on a plane to Boston or California and nobody's going to check me. Do you think that needs to change?
Yeah. You know why that seems strange? Because they're convinced that this is the dangerous, worst thing in the world, right? So let me ask you this, lady, I don't know who your name is. If this is the case, and the biggest pandemic in a century, and nobody's checking these cards, nobody's stopping people on planes, which, by the way, you can find videos all over the place where people went through the hoops in the US to get these cards and everything, and then traveled, and literally nobody cared. Nobody looked at it, nobody checked it, nobody cared. So how do you explain that, right? This world would be wildly overrun if what they're saying is the truth. It's not crazy to understand. It's because all of this is based on the fear-mongering illusion that this is what we're dealing with, when in reality, you cross over to another place and the world changes, right? You fly to Sweden and suddenly it doesn't exist, right? You fly to other places, what's going on? Like, that's why, because it is an illusion that is literally changing every single location you go to based on how high they want the fear level to be and how much they're trying to take from you. Pretty clear. But if it was like an Ebola pandemic, black plague kind of thing, are we really going to pretend that they would let you just travel around the world with no problem? It's not what they're telling you it is.
Well, that's under consideration, certainly. I mean, I have been asked that question, and it actually got some play in the press when I made the answer. I think that if, in fact, it is seriously considered, it's on the table, we're not there yet. In fact, if you look at the 6-point program that the president came out with a couple of days, what we were talking about with travel was doubling the fines of people who, in fact, are traveling and don't get tested. And I believe that the idea about requiring vaccination for travel is something that is on the table for discussion. It has not been decided yet.
Great. So now instead, you know, biggest pandemic in a century, and we're just going to charge you double for it. Right. So go ahead and spread it. Go ahead and spread the biggest pandemic in a century. We'll just charge you. We'll put it on your tab. But it's for your safety, though, right? Just give us money and we'll let you go ahead and spread it. And that's keeping everybody safe. That's the stupidest thing in the world. That's like carbon tax, right? So we're going to pretend like by taxing everybody that it's going to stop the problem. Right, because the problem is the average person using gas in their car. No, the average problem is the gigantic corporations destroying the planet, and they'll just pay the tax and keep doing what they've always done and use it as a cost of doing business. But you, who can't afford it, you'll cut back because you can't afford it. Does that stop the problem? No, it just puts more money in the pockets of the people that are creating the problem. Yeah, but we'll double fine you for doing something that's super dangerous, going to kill everybody. It's like, good God, Why are we too stupid to see this, guys? Not we, but a lot of the people that are doing it. Here's the HPV side effects pointing out, and this is the person who has been railing on this maniac sociopath, in my opinion. She is relentless. As somebody pointed out in the clip we're going to play, saying the quiet part out loud. CNN's Lena Wen, the unvaccinated should not be allowed to leave their homes. Let me say that again. She's arguing the unvaccinated should not be allowed to leave their homes. Right, because it's all about freedom. She's the one that says freedom doesn't mean anything. Your rights shouldn't matter. It's all about safety. Gee, she's like the leading champion of the biosecurity state. That's where this is going. Those vaccine pushers would do anything for money. This is their point on it. But this is coming directly from the same person that we keep seeing pushing this in a really alarming way. Here's her account itself. She's literally saying this on her own account. What the Biden admin announced to require larger businesses to have vaccine or testing mandates was brilliant. What the Biden admin announced to require, it gives cover to employers who already wanted to implement such requirements to ensure a safer workplace. The silent majority of the vaccinated should not be ignored. The silent majority. This is funny. But that's just so silly. That's just using old concept, like the silent majority. Like we're going to pretend like they're the ones that aren't speaking up. That's ridiculous. But she's openly saying that this was all about cover, right? So the government doing this is a plan, because we know that the government saying this is going to give the people who are forcing it on their employees illegally the cover to be like, well, we don't want to, but the government says we can, so we're going to do it for your safety. This is a coordinated effort, guys. And by the way, this was already discussed before we got here. I showed you documentation where they planned things just like this, predominantly in the UK, but we know this was larger than that.
I don't think it goes. I don't think it goes far enough. I actually think that what Zeke said about interstate travel was exactly right. But in this case, we have childhood immunizations that we don't even think about. All 50 states have laws on the books to require.
Oh, weird. Isn't that funny how she's just parroting the same talking points that Fauci just spit out? Now, I wonder whether that's what go from her to him or him to her. Who cares? It's just that they know what they're supposed to say. Right. Well, we've got other shots that have nothing to do with this shot that we've been doing for years that we haven't been doing this one, that are totally safe. And we haven't proven that with this one, but that totally makes this one safe. Right. That's a false equivalency. And they know this, right? Like, it's just so ridiculous. And these are the experts that are parroting this nonsense.
Routine childhood immunizations, which we really should be looking at the COVID vaccine the same way. And when it comes to employers, I think what the Biden administration did was quite brilliant, because it gives air cover for businesses that have wanted to do this, that have wanted to put vaccine mandates in place, but they didn't want to have their employees complain about them. Now they can say, hey, we didn't really want to do this, but the administration, the federal government, is making us do it. It also helps to level the playing field so that people aren't then going to threaten to go to another workplace. If every workplace has that same requirement, that's a good thing. So I don't think it's overreach. I think this is what's needed in the middle of a pandemic. And in fact, I think the Biden administration, if anything, could have gone even further.
Right. So now, and by the way, that's not my chair that's squeaking. It's my microphone arm, for crying out loud. And it's brand new. I don't know. I kept trying to stop before. You know, let's make every single one of them, right? Every workplace. That way you can't just go work somewhere else. Like, how dare you decide to go work for somebody who actually cares about your rights? We'll make sure your rights don't count, right? This may be an unpopular point just because people are sensitive about damn near everything today. But am I the only one that finds it crazy that seemingly the only person that's this over the top, like just way over the top, like force them into the houses, don't let them leave. We should take away their rights. We should tape their mouths shut. Like, it's just so crazy over the top. And am I crazy? It's interesting that the only one seeming to do that is somebody that is her ethnicity. Like, I don't think that's an accident, because you realize you have all the Republican side that, I mean, I shouldn't say it like that. A lot of people in the extreme Republican partisan side of this that have just decided that anything Chinese is bad, just like you had back in the Middle East discussion where anybody that was even remotely Middle East was a terrorist, right? The same thing that always happens in our ridiculous political system. So that right there makes them, in their minds, go, oh, China and Biden and China, it's all together, right? And on the Democrat side, It's almost like, well, either, you know how the Democrat left first right paradigm works. The point is, I find it really telling that she's the only one that seems to be that far over the top. It's almost as if it's perfectly playing into the narrative, isn't it? Now, I'm sure somebody will be offended by that comment, but I just, let's not pretend like they don't think about this. There's a reason that Biden went down the line of ethnicity and said you for this position and one of you for this position, one of you for that position, right? That's racism, right? Not me pointing out that that's ridiculous and that he should have hired people based on their merit. Somehow that's racist today. God knows why. But she is saying to force it. Remove the option so you literally can't exist in our world without complying. Which is exactly what this person has to say. Now, remember, they're pretending like, well, you have a choice. It's all your choice. And all these people that are parroting that line are exactly like this guy in my mind. They're lying for their truth. They know you don't have a choice. They just don't care. They've decided that that choice is if you don't choose like them, you're a bad person. And that has been completely driven by the mainstream media and all the social engineering, all the politics, all the two-party illusion. That's been driven into their brains. So they've decided you're a bad person, just like you used to be a bad person if you were on the other side of the paradigm, right? Oh, you're a Republican, you're automatically a bad person. Same, it still exists, but now that's become completely vaxxed versus unvaxxed. You're a terrible person if you don't do what I've decided is right. Classic U.S. politics, right? Now, this person's decided that's the case. You're a bad person, and he's accepted that you don't have a choice, but he's also accepted that we need to pretend like you have a choice so that we can drive them into that not being able to make a choice situation, right? Okay, so here's a guy being confronted like this, admitting this out in the open. It's funny. It's kind of a funny video because the guy in the beginning, but listen to this back and forth. See right there? That's the mic.
I'm trying to do it real soft. Let's squeak.
The shot, that's cool. If you have the shot, that's fine. But not everybody should be forced to take it.
No, nobody's forcing you to take it. We're just gonna remove you from fucking society.
That's cool. That's cool.
You're not allowed to go to our restaurant.
But I can eat at my house. Hold on, stop.
Go to our nice restaurant.
I don't need to go to the restaurant. That's fine.
Is it hillbilly Alabama? This is fucking.
But why are you getting so upset? You see my voice? You see my tone? Look at your tone and look at my tone.
Okay, I'll tell you.
No, but look at my tone. Calm down. No, you're upset. And I'm going to show you how to talk like a man because you're a man, right?
It just goes on and on. Do you have polio shot? Right, because that makes sense, right? She's just parroting the same damn narrative because she probably just watched it on CNN, right? The polio shot lady has literally nothing to do with this, but go educate yourself. But of course, this guy, who is the point he's making, is just worked up, like super angry because that's the point. Look, we all see this right now. People who are, they are desperately angry that you're not going along with their narrative, right? They just can't stand it. And that's funny to me in a way, because not the sad part of it, people dying and stuff, but the fact that they just, it is working them up to such a fervor, they can't stand, because your existence shows them that they're wrong and they don't want to admit that. Right? Because you're not getting sick. You're not dying. But the point is, he is going, this isn't rural Alabama. Like, you know, really? And this, because these people have bought the narrative. It's not Alabama. It's not conservatives. There's liberal. This is a nonpartisan push all over the world. But these people who are still lost in the narrative have assumed, because they're probably Democrats, because that seems like the case, that it's only the Republicans that are doing this, because that works into the left versus right paradigm illusion. But the point is what he's saying. We will remove you from society. You don't get to go to our restaurants, but you have a choice though. That's literally, he starts off by saying you have a choice. He knows that's not true. He just doesn't care. This is everybody right now. They are, I mean, anybody who is literally okay with forcing you into this position is on this side of the argument. Now, there's people in the middle of that that are grudgingly doing this thing because they feel like they have to. And I feel really sad for those people because some of them feel like they don't have a choice. You always have a choice. But this is that side of the argument. Now, going on to the idea of vaccine passports, which is what they're getting to, Downing Street has said the vaccine passports are, quote, a first line of defense against the winter wave of coronavirus, which they're, of course, predicting, right? Because that's never, I mean, just like every other part of this, they said is probably going to happen. And then it went just like they said, just like Event 201. There's going to be that. They're going to blame it on whatever they want to blame it on. They're make this happen. But the point is, less than 24 hours after the health secretary literally just said that they weren't doing this. Now, is that because they are actually stopping it and they started it again? Or because the narrative is so set in stone that even if they scrap it, they're still arguing that the vaccine passports are all we could do? Clearly, there's a problem here. Narrative versus reality. I don't think they're scrapping anything. I think this is an example of them slowly pulling it back when they get too much pressure and then bringing it back just like they did in Israel, everywhere else. But here from COVID-1984 is a clip showing you how this is going to work. As he puts it, papers, please, enforcement begins today in New York. This was September 13th. This whole fake news reality they said was never going to happen, this dangerous misinformation about vaccine passports, is now literally happening. And it's like always, you're now a dangerous misinformation conspiracy theorist if you don't go along with the thing they told you previously was not going to happen.
I'm going to demonstrate and show you how this process is going to go. We're inside Good Enough to Eat on the Upper West Side. So once you get in...
Hashtag boycott Good Enough to Eat.
...inside, you meet with, for this instance, Sean. Hi, Sean.
Hi, Reagan.
Okay, so now what are you going to do for me?
All right, to get
so you... why does it make sense that she doesn't wear a mask and he does? It's just so stupid. I mean, they're telling you even to wear one if you're vaccinated, right? I mean, there's no logic to any of this.
You seated inside. I just need proof of one dose of vaccine. That's it. And a photo ID.
Okay, great. So now it's just one dose, except that doesn't actually give you what even their narrative says that doesn't. So it's just about compliance. If two doses is what you need to reach the even unacceptable level of immunity, which again wanes after 3 months and doesn't even reach what they needed to, not mucosal immunity, on and on and on. But one doesn't do that. They've already proven that. But who cares? Because just get the injection and you're part of the good club.
Okay, so I have a photocopy of my vaccination card and my photo ID.
Boom, boom, boom. That's you, Miss Reagan. Dope.
Great. Thank you so much.
All right, so let's get you seated.
Okay, now we're going to get seated over here. I'm going to demonstrate.
Right, and remember that he's talked about digital. I mean, it's all the point is that this is the world that they've already created. This is the case. It's already happening. You already have to show it. Like, this is coercion. Remember in the very beginning, and I kept saying that financial and societal, I think I used a different word, coercion is where we are now. It's exactly where we are. And that was fake news, conspiracy theory. And I know I keep saying that, but we need to recognize how ridiculous that is. How many times both Spiro, myself, and anybody else who keep telling you, and then it happens, and then still fake news. Here's a great discussion. A point made by Sky News, interestingly enough, of all people, who are definitely not part of this. I mean, who knows whether it's something shifting in the narrative of COVID-19 who changed Sky News. I've seen some Sky News stuff that's interesting lately, but I remember back in the Syria discussion, they were very clearly part of the problem, and they probably still are. Probably some reason this works for them right now. But he's right in what he's saying here. He says, quote, if you divide any society into two distinct classes of people, you have abandoned liberty and democracy and replaced it with tyranny, fear, and suspicion. We all know that's true. We all know that. But it doesn't matter if you are on the side of vaccine good because you're on the good guy side now, just like with foreign policy. It doesn't matter if you have rights and you're literally not doing what they say you're doing. It doesn't matter. You're the bad guy. So you're on the bad guy side. So anything you do, including legal actions, are suddenly bad guy stuff. Same thing here. It doesn't matter. Listen to what he says.
That's stupid. I have no problem whatsoever with people being vaccinated or not being vaccinated. What is not acceptable for multiple reasons, including constitutional and legal and ethical and moral reasons, is mandatory vaccination. Indeed, the Australian Immunisation Handbook spells it out very clearly that consent to being vaccinated must be given in the absence of undue pressure, coercion,
exactly,
or manipulation. Barilaro, Perotet, Berejiklian, Hazard, read it. Once you start down this path of dividing any society into two distinct classes of people, you have abandoned liberty and democracy and replaced it with tyranny, fear, and suspicion. Worse, and this is what really disturbs me, once the authorities have decreed that there are now two classes of Australian, the good and the bad, and that one class is superior to another and gets special privileges, while the other class is shunned, locked out, vilified, and loses their employment, you have, by definition, created an inferior class, for which the Germans once coined a simple word which roughly translates as under or inferior person. Untermensch. If that word brings a chill of horror to your heart, so it should.
Right. It's an apartheid state, right? That's where we are right now. Just like with Israel, which has always been an apartheid state, we are living in that right now. And he's absolutely right. And he said perfectly. That's exactly what the problem is. They have created a situation where it's exactly what's happening. They divided you amongst yourselves, divide and conquer. Now there's a good and a bad side. the fact that we could pretend like any of this is even remotely what we pretend we are as a country, even though that's really never been the case based on what our government's been doing. The fact that we can pretend that right now is just, it clearly shows you what I keep talking about. It clearly shows you what this guy is saying, right? They know this is wrong. They don't care because they're on the side of what they think is the right thing. Now, that's going to flip on them at some point, just like it has in the past. I use that Jordan Sheridan example of censorship where he's like, good, censor them. And then months later got censored and he was bleeding about how it was a terrible thing, right? That's what happens. If you want to censor somebody, it'll eventually swing back around and hit you because they don't care about you. It's not, they don't care about the left-right paradigm. It's a means to an end. So right now, if you believe you're on the good guy side because you're ejected, just wait until it swings back around. Just wait until the real plan comes to pass and you weren't all about the next step, whatever that may be, new boosters, implantables, whatever it becomes. Bottom line, it's not what it's, as he says, if you have abandoned liberty and democracy and replaced it with tyranny, fear, and suspicion. That's where we are right now, period. And as this doctor rightly points out, and it's kind of a sad thing to think about, she says, medical doctor, when I attended medical school 30 years ago, medical paternalism was out, patients' rights were paramount, and informed consent was sacred. What happened? Now, paternalism, what it stands for is the policy or practice on the part of people in positions of authority of restricting the freedom and responsibilities of those subordinate to them in the subordinate's supposed best interest. Very interesting, right? Now, I actually, when I first saw that word, I didn't think it meant, like, I had to look it up. Paternalism. And I was like, okay, if you just, you would think that meant something different, I would argue, for most people. And it's important to really hear what that says. But she says when she attended school, medical paternalism was out. Not a thing. Clearly, we see that's not the case now. A policy or practice of people in positions of authority restricting the freedom and responsibilities of people like you, the subordinates, in their best interest. That is everything. We are living in a paternalism world right now. Patients' rights were paramount. Obviously not anymore. Informed consent was sacred. Well, no, because they don't care about informed consent. As the peer-reviewed study from December 2020 that found that antibody-dependent enhancement was a specific and significant risk and needed to be divulged, otherwise we weren't meeting informed consent and nothing's ever happened from that, shows you that they don't care about it. Oh, well, and what I said, and this is important. And she says, what happened, right? Well, I said the narrative changed and an end game was initiated. I doubt that those at the top ever cared about those things. It was a means to an end, and appearing to be the good guy no longer matters to them. I believe that. An end game scenario doesn't mean we as individuals, myself, her, you, that we don't believe wholeheartedly in what they were faking. That's important. The same thing I make about the Constitution, about the founding fathers. Like, it's certainly possible that what we're taught was the belief at that point was not really fully believed by everyone in that room. And that's very clear, easy to prove, by the way, that there are people who were there in that room who wanted exactly what we're living in now. And yes, the argument is that the other side of the argument won out. But that doesn't mean those people weren't there for years on fighting for this direction after the fact, the centralized government. And I think they won. My point is that whether or not they fully believe in the tenets of this country, it's taken root in the hearts of people like us. We believe it. So regardless of whether your rogue government cares about your constitutional rights, we do. We believe that we can create a society based on these tenets and improve upon that. These people don't care. Not this person here, obviously, but people like these people. Everybody else, you know what I'm talking about. Going forward, here is an interesting point coming from the Israeli government. Very important point. First, let's play the clip and you can see. It's in Israeli, but this is the case, and you can confirm this for yourself by Israeli media. Israeli Ministry of Health on the right recorded on live on this live recording, which I don't think he knew he was being recorded, saying to the Minister of Interior on his left, quote, there is no medical or epidemiological justification for the COVID passport. It is only intended to pressure the unvaccinated to vaccinate. Let me just read that again, because that's super important. The Israeli Ministry of Health is saying, off the record, there is no medical or epidemiological justification for the COVID passport. It is only intended to pressure the unvaccinated to vaccinate. Gee, that sounds quite a bit like what we're saying, doesn't it? As I said, exactly what many of us have been telling you, even back when the very idea of a vaccine passport was still being called the crazy conspiracy theory. Now that it's clear that it was planned, and of course I've shown this many times, the document of the EU showing you that they planned for vaccine passports to be made between 2021 and 2022. Oh, weird, exactly right now. And they planned that since 2018. What a weird coincidence, right? Well, now that it's clear that it was always planned, those not complying are the conspiracy theorists, right? So like I said before, this is the great clip and the white rose is the nod from this. This is where it came from. Anyone claiming there's a plan to implement vaccine passports is a conspiracy theorist and their dangerous misinformation must be stopped. 2020. 2021. Anyone opposed to vaccine passports is a conspiracy theorist and their dangerous misinformation, blah, blah, blah. It's just so ridiculous. But a little bit of good news, and I'm really, really suspicious about this, only because I don't trust that DeSantis or any of these people are doing this because they want to fight for your freedom. But nonetheless, it's still discernibly, from what I can tell, a good thing. There doesn't seem to be any underlying motive here or any secondary thing, but it always comes to pass. In my opinion, yes, I'm a pessimist when it comes to government. It says local governments will face $5,000 fines for imposing vaccine mandates. $5,000 fines. Seems like it's going to be a positive thing. As he says, basically the bottom line is we're going to stand for the men and women who are serving us. We are going to protect Florida jobs. We're not going to let people be fired because of a vaccine mandate. That sounds pretty specific, but we'll see what actually happens. What he says is they'll be fined $5,000 per violation if they force people to prove their injections, right? They say that the government's agency's vaccine mandates violate the state law banning private businesses from requiring them. DeSantis says any local government that imposes vaccine requirements could risk millions in dollars in fines. He specifically mentioned the first responders who refused to be vaccinated. Well, we'll see what happens, right? It's a good thing. If this is how this goes forward, it's a fantastic thing. But we'll see what actually, because the last time this happened, remember, he made a big statement about stopping this, but then you found out in the actual documentation, it said they could choose to do it of their own accord. Now he's taken further steps, so that's good. But again, I'm very suspicious about this, and especially since it's very clear that he's going to be running for president. But in any case, well, my thought would be, like, let's say he gets superseded by the federal government somehow and then just kind of lets that happen. My gut would tell me that was always the plan. That's just me, though. But regardless, that's a positive thing, and that should be supported. Hopefully we can see more of this everywhere else. But I don't think it's going to matter. Even the UK has set out pandemic plan for fall and winter, and they're already telling you booster shots are already planned to begin next week. Regardless of everything we've already talked about, the boosters are already coming your way. Same within in the United States. He's already told you that, even though it's clear that the same thing based on the original strain, that's their narrative, is literally not helping against the new variants. And on top of that, the new research from the peer-reviewed studies I've shown you make it very clear that anything being made by the original strain and being confronted by the Delta variant specifically, which they're telling you is most of what's happening here, is dramatically increasing your risk of side effects. They literally list antibody-dependent enhancement in that study. I think it was the Journal of Infectious Disease. And that's everything right now. All the injections are based on the original strain, and they're telling you 90% of the cases are Delta. That's their narrative. So based on the new scientific research that's peer-reviewed, that should be like a danger zone. Oh, don't do that, because you're going to create antibody-dependent enhancement. And that's what we're seeing. But weirdly enough, I wanted to point this out too. Not weird. This speaks to the same kind of thing from the doctors, where these doctors like Wen and Fauci are, you know, they're, well, rather specifically the doctors that are pushing their narratives. Some of these people are completely brainwashed by this. Trusting authority is what they were taught in school. But what this article says from the New York Times, numerous doctors and experts who themselves receive J&J, so the one shot, aren't waiting for the government to act, because that's scientific, right? They have gotten a follow-up Moderna or Pfizer vaccine. So they've gotten a, by the way, which experts tell you is widely unscientific. And they must know this, different technology, different kind of injection, different storage temperature, different gap in between the two. That's crazy. But they don't care, because they've decided that it's safe and effective because narrative. So these are doctors who are doing something that is not backed up by the science or the medical information because they've been told by the media that it's safe. Jeez, you should run from those doctors. Sometimes public health requires making tough decisions without a complete data set to support it. That's what they said. And these are people that are very clearly not at risk unless they're 70 and over with comorbidities. And these are the doctors making choices for people. That's scary. And here is one of those doctors. Doctor wants to be scary to the public and inflate COVID numbers. Quote, if you don't get vaccine, you're going to die, they say. North Carolina doctor wants to be scary to the public by inflating the numbers, claiming you'll die without vaccines. They have obtained a recording of a Zoom call, which I'll show you in a minute, between physicians at the Novant Health New Hanover Regional Medical Center. A group of 20 hospitals, by the way, in North Carolina, South Carolina. In the recording, this doctor, Mary Rudick, tells director of marketing, Carol Fisher, that another hospital employee, that she wants the hospitals to become more scary to the public by inflating the numbers, which is basically what she says, and I'll play it to you, and by using messaging that falsely tells you that you'll just die if you don't get the injection. Based on every metric everywhere, that couldn't be more false. In fact, 99% of people won't, based on even the scariest numbers they threw in your face, which were all not true. Here it is. Let's listen to it.
The dashboard and how it's set up myself, as far as how we get information out to the community on meaningful numbers, we do that on a weekly basis. So that's on our website, and we've been sharing that through social channels as well, particularly those graphics that show the number of patients in-house, the percentage of them that are unvaccinated, the percentage of unvaccinated people in the ICU, and the percentage of deaths and the numbers. So those are numbers that we put out, as far as we don't get into details of floor or
right.
Those other numbers are certainly out there.
Right. I guess my feeling at this point in time is maybe we need to be completely a little bit more scary for the public. Then there's another comment that I completely agree. There are many people still hospitalized that we're considering post-COVID, but we're not counting in those numbers. So how do we include those post-COVID people in the numbers of the patients we have in the hospital?
Okay, so there's no misunderstanding the question. First of all, be more scary, which is that's a lie. If you need to be more scary, that inherently means you're not, it's not, and you need to act more scary, meaning you're misrepresenting the situation. Great doctor here, and I hope she loses her job. But on top of that, she goes, oh, well, let's combine these other numbers that I just admitted were post-COVID. People that we are not counting because they're not actually in the hospital in regard to the ICU hospitalization metric. But let's include those numbers because that makes it look more scary. Anybody confused? But they will trust the science, trust the doctors, right?
So is that all the people who have been in the hospital since the beginning of COVID?
Right. So she's confused. Right. So the people that are no longer in the hospital, you want us to include?
Well, or that are still in, and that's something that I can take to someone else. But I think those are important numbers. The patients that are still in the hospital, that are off the COVID floor, but still are occupying the hospital for a variety of reasons.
This is what it sounds like to redefine what hospitalization is, right? This is that we just showed you the data, the direct statements and the mainstream discussion of that from the Atlantic, from the study itself finding we need to change the definition of hospitalization. Why? So this situation that doesn't look bad, we can make it look bad for the vaccinated, unvaccinated people, right? It's such a subjective manipulation. So she's saying groups that we've already decided are not COVID numbers, we should just combine with the COVID numbers so it looks more scary. It couldn't be more clear to me.
Okay.
Carolyn, we're calling those recovered now. If you look at the Novant Health dashboard.
Right, just so that's clear. I'm sorry this keeps squeaking. I got to figure out how to fix that. He just said, we call those recovered. And she goes, right. So she's like, yeah, I know. Combine them. Right. So the recovered, meaning they're no longer an issue. They're not hospitalized. Let me finish what he says here.
Or they're listed as recovered. But I do think from our standpoint, we would still consider them a COVID patient because they're still healing.
Yep. So I think that needs to be highlighted as well. Yeah. Because once they're off isolation, they drop from the COVID numbers. That's exactly right.
Right. And she just admitted it. So once they leave that, they're off the COVID numbers. Right. So that's not a subjective point. That's a general standing. Right. That's what you're supposed to do. What they're saying is we should not do that. We should take the ones that we're all agreeing are no longer supposed to be included and include those. Pretty ridiculous.
Kellen, we can talk offline how we run that.
Oh, yeah. Let's talk offline.
To marketing.
Right. So I'm just gonna...
And he says run it by marketing. Don't miss that either.
Say, Carolyn, I think we have to be more blunt. We have to be more forceful. We have to say something coming out. You know, you don't get vaccinated, you know you're going to die. I mean, let's just be really blunt to these people.
Let's just be really blunt to these people. Let's scare them. These are doctors. Right. This is why, yes, not all doctors are created equal. And there are just human beings who will lie to you, who will choose to tell you something that's not true because they want you to do what they've decided is okay. Right. They're just people. So this ridiculous, this idea that they're giving you, this air of authority and altruistic nature, is just ridiculous. It's the same thing I keep pointing out during Kavanaugh, where they just said, trust women. And if you don't, you're an evil person. Except, yeah, women can't lie in the context of that narrative. Well, now suddenly the woman who accuses Biden is a liar. You know, it's so ridiculous. And this is my point, is people in that two-party paradigm will flip-flop. One time they agree to care, one time they don't, right? The people that don't care about your rights right now have decided that you're a bad person because of their choice. That's what it always is. Now, to finish off with a small part that I wanted to include in the title for a very clear reason, because I truly believe this is a big deal. I'm going to follow up. I might even reach out to Christian again from Ice Age Farmer, because he does a great job on this topic in general, as well as everything else. But there's an interesting I want to play you a clip from this YouTube video. Multiple, in fact, or just some of them, really, just to get you the point. But I want to start off by pointing something out. Right now, we're being told we're having all these shortages. Right? Shortage everywhere. There's all sorts of infrastructure shortages and meat and chicken and toilet paper and whatever else, which makes literally no sense based on the reality that this is some kind of, like, if you look into this, there's no discernible reason why that should be happening, right? Remember in the beginning, we had this weird, oh, there was an attack on the meat plant, or the cyber attack, which turned out to be not really even the case, where they shut themselves down because they wanted to be able to pay, or I forget how that worked out. There was a money thing. And the story was they got hacked and we stopped and everything. That wasn't true. They chose to shut down. The next day and the few days following it, in the stores, they were claiming meat shortages. Are we really going to pretend that the day you get in a cyber attack, that somehow the trucks that were already en route or the stocks they already had in the stores were somehow magically gone? No, that was a narrative setter. They were beginning the idea and they jumped in too fast, or maybe they're just stupid. And they decided, oh, meat shortages all of a sudden, even though 2 days later it turned out they didn't actually happen the way they told you it did. Yet magically there were shortages that came out of nowhere. There's a narrative happening here and it's very, very orchestrated. Now, that doesn't mean that there's not some level of truth to what's happening, even because they're causing it. But notice this. I type in paid to destroy crops, which is a very real thing, COVID-19 or otherwise. Every single year, the government pays some farmers to destroy crops to maintain a sort of equilibrium. The same reason they pay certain farmers to pour out their milk, to maintain a status quo for the price, which is disgusting. But it happens every year. While there are people starving all around the world and we scream that we care about that kind of thing, right? Because we're totally lying about that. Well, I mean, the government is what I mean. Every single year, the U.S. throws out enough food to feed the rest of the world, hands down. And it's just like misshapen apples and things that we don't, oh, that doesn't look nice. We like the shaped ones. So we're going to throw those away and pour bleach on them so the poor people can't have it. Every year. This is one that gets under my skin. I've talked about it 100 times. But now, while we're already talking about, oh my gosh, we're starting to see shortages in food and crops and everything else, are they doing that still? Well, you won't be surprised to hear from farmers right now who are saying that that's what's happening. Now, you could argue that they're lying, some other reason that it's not true. And sure, certainly you should ask that question. Maybe they're making it up. But I'm always suspicious when I see lots of videos from people organically on social media claiming this, farmers. And then out of nowhere, you get like 100 articles. But you can scroll down and see it's one after another. Government isn't paying farmers to destroy the crop. Government, no, farmers aren't getting paid to destroy. No, government, don't do that. And if you read into it, they don't even really, they argue it's just like a fake news story. They don't really get into the conversation that this is something that happens all the time. And some of them they do, but most of them, they kind of just go, well, it's fake news. Okay, so as long as we're setting that tone that they're screaming at you, this is totally fake, it's not happening. Listen to what these farmers have to say.
So me and my coworker got talking today, and something came up that I didn't really think about when my dad mentioned it to me. He's worked in the agriculture industry for over 40 years. This year, farmers are being offered 1.5 times the value of their crops to destroy them. They're also being told by the federal government they will not receive subsidies for farming if they refuse to destroy their crops. What does that mean? That means that the farmer cannot afford to provide you with food based upon the taxes the government is levying on him if the government doesn't in turn give him back his tax money to provide you with food. Kind of a fucked up system, but that's how it works. And, well, they're not going to subsidize them if they don't destroy the crops. They'll pay them more than what it's worth, and they want them to destroy it, and they'll still get their subsidies. They're trying to create a food shortage. We've got 8 months to get our own food supply. We're probably going to be facing mass starvation.
Now, I'm not necessarily backing up everything they're saying, but the point is that this is being claimed by a lot of people, and I've seen this a lot, right? I mean, even Christian, I recommend Ice Age Farmers' work because this is what he's been telling you. Like, this is all in his mind, as far as I can tell from what he's argued on my interview and others, this is almost a foregone conclusion based on a lot of other things that are bigger than COVID-19, like the grand solar minimum and these different things he's talked about. I mean, I should bring it back on because obviously he knows far more about it. But the reality being that this is something that they apparently know about that happens in longer spans than we're able to kind of grasp with our human lifespan, that they are aware there's going to be a shortage. And they're almost, I mean, bottom line is this happens every year. And if it is happening, even to the smallest degree right now, while they're claiming shortages, that should make you livid. Because not only are they absolutely creating the shortage, but they're continuing their system of control while they're claiming you can't feed your family.
It's true that the government is paying farmers to destroy their crops. And the simple answer to that is yes, they are.
And they actually heard.
Now look, these are a farming. Look, I mean, you could argue that they're making these things up, but I mean, you can see that they're farming. I mean, the guy's in a damn tractor. Now, yes, that could be a lie. But again, I've spoken to people myself that are claiming the same thing.
About the government paying farmers to destroy their crops, I thought it was a load of bullshit. Well, lo and behold, we received our destruction notice the other day. So basically, there's two options on how to destroy the crop. The government could fly on Agent Orange, or we could manually destroy the crop ourselves. But we put too much blood, sweat, and tears in it to let them destroy it, so we...
Oh, YouTube stepping in. You know, they love to do that. It's hilarious to me. I mean, look at that. See, it's YouTube because it's me. It's ridiculous to me how obvious it is. Open up an incognito page and everything works perfectly. I don't care. It makes me laugh. They're breaking their platform in order to censor people and manipulate people. I love it. I love it. But anyway, watch the video for yourself. It goes on and shows you the same points. And they just help me and cut off and shorten my show on this is what I need. Thank you, YouTube. You're helping me out. Great video in there. You should watch it for yourself. It goes on for 8 minutes, showing you plenty of people making the same arguments, guys. Now, here are some other points to bolster that. Container ship congestion at LA ports hits record high as more ships join queue. Why? Oh, weird. It's on September 11th. Why? I don't know. The waiting game is getting longer for container ships entering U.S. ports, being the port of Los Angeles. And, you know, okay, well, there's just congestion. Anybody explaining why they're congested? I mean, there's obviously something going on. Well, it says the COVID outbreaks have exacerbated delays. Oh, of course it has. It's COVID. COVID did it. The COVID outbreaks are why those ships can't be passed through. I mean, are we serious? Are we really going to pretend COVID delays are stopping a ship who already has manned people and a location that so you can't have somebody else manning that? Look, oh, so COVID, so we have to wait for a new person to get better before we can open up the... This is it's laughable. COVID delays, like Amazon's like, oh, COVID delays, or some kind of online transfer of paperwork is like, oh, COVID delays. It's just so stupid. Literally everybody's taking advantage of that argument, just giving themselves more time. This is so stupid. And it makes me, in my opinion, it is an undeniable point that they're creating this. But at least the KFC bets on vegan nuggets. Oh, weird. You mean the thing that the fake meat that Gates is completely a part of that is been pushed long before this, that's now being used as the, oh, well, because we have a shortage. There's already a poultry shortage somehow already. I don't know why that makes sense. And we're already making this and we already have advertisements for it because that was totally not planned at all. Oh my God. It is so obvious to me that they're making this happen to some degree. It's up to you to make your decision and decide for yourself what you think is happening. But the bottom line is we are being lied to in so many ways. It shouldn't be hard to wrap your mind around, guys. But we'll end it there. Thank you for being here today and continuing to ask questions. It's only going to get more important. Now, remember, we've got things coming up here shortly. On the 18th, I'll be giving a speech here in Franklin. Make sure you come check it out. On top of that, I'm going to be talking in DABU's Knowledge Conference in Kentucky. So make sure if you look it up, Knowledge Conference 2021, I'll be there coming up shortly. We also have Derek's thing coming up here for his activation tour, which is going to be pretty fun. We have a lot of things planned for that. It's going to be a pretty big event in Nashville, Franklin as well. So make sure you come up for that. And there's plenty more coming. Taylor's got some new interviews coming up. Whitney and I are about to do another thing coming up on T-Lab very shortly. Plenty more coming your way. I love you all, as always. Question everything. Come to your own conclusions. Stay vigilant.
Today, going to need to see your proof of vaccination. Oh. You know we got the new mandate going on.
Right, sorry. I have the app.
Oh, Moderna, huh? Heard that one knocks you on your ass. I got the Pfizer.
Oh, you're a Pfizer guy. I hear Moderna's better, but not going to judge, you know. The new normal.
Have a good one.
Have a good one.
A vaccine passport? Yeah, but I need proof of at least 10 booster shots. Where's the... Okay, AIDS vaccine passport. I'm going to need to see an allergy test. Lyme disease. Chickenpox. H1N1. Rabies tag. H1N2. All right, proof of the herpes vaccine. And what about the herpes booster?
I literally got it like 10 minutes ago.
Let's see it. All right, hand, foot, and mouth disease. H1N5. Prostate exam. Whooping cough. I'm going to need your Netflix password. HPV.
I actually have HPV.
I need proof to show solidarity to the HPV community. I'm going to need to see your blockbuster card. Tetanus. Negative test for the Black Plague. Tetanus booster.
I don't have it.
I'll give it to you now. Proof of political party. Proof of diversity.
Are you serious?
We already have two white guys in there, okay? That's our limit.
Okay, I'm Jewish.
What do you think this is? 2021? You're gonna have to be way more oppressed than that to get in here. You got like a 23andMe test results?
Yes, yes.
50% Ashkenazi Jew. 0.000027 Native American. Why didn't you just tell me that? You got an anti-racist card? All right, now I just got to check your white guilt score. 9.7. Wow, not bad, man. Just got to scan you for male toxicity. Okay, quick set of questions. Would you have sex with a trans woman?
Yes.
Can men have babies?
Yes.
Do all lives matter?
Yeah, no.
Quote from Broad City to prove you can hang with gay people.
Yes, queen.
I'm sorry?
Yes!
Yeah, that's better. How many statues have you toppled this month?
9.
You support the police?
No.
Are all Trump supporters racist?
Yes.
How many abortions have you paid for?
5.
I'm going to need to see your punch card. All right, 4 more and your 10th one's free. How many people have you canceled this month?
18, 19 including my grandmother.
Racist?
No, she still likes Louis C.K.
Ooh, even worse. Ever been me too'd?
No.
Me three'd?
No.
Me four'd?
No. Nope.
Me seven? Me 69'd? I need proof of a black friend. Okay, how many pronouns are there?
92,627.
All right, and finally, I need you to recite the full sexuality acronym.
LGBTQIAONMPZ? Greater than sign, less than sign, squiggly mark, a peace sign, at sign, hammer and sickle, poop emoji, and symbol for titanium.
All right, just put your mask on and show them your receipt.
You know, I actually lost the receipt, so...
How are we supposed to give you your laundry if you don't have the receipt?